Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
To be the man.
You gotta be the man.
Woo! It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
And this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki, is it?
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you?
God! Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Thank you, Cool and the Gang. Some old school music there to cue you in tonight on Online World of Wrestling Radio. It is Ladies Night. Around the 9:30 time, we will have the current Women's Superstars Uncensored Champion, the one and only Mercedes Martinez, joining us. And then in the second hour, because there may be a couple hours here tonight because there's a lot of news to pack into this show, we'll be joined by her challenger, Miss Alicia. You already saw in the chat room, if you're in wildtalkradio.com's chat room or the chat room on owwradio.com, there's a link to the WSU website, wsuwrestling.com, where you can see some recent hype-up interviews to this humongous event. We will be talking Bryan Danielson again. Yes, Bryan Danielson is always going to be in the news. And we're at the countdown on Bryan Danielson's 90 days is 79. We got the count right until Bryan Danielson is a free person to go wherever he wants. We will be talking WWE Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view. We'll be talking about the amazing electrifying Ric Flair-off that happened on TNA Impact. But unfortunately, we have to open with some extremely sad news. Bad news. To see him wrestle in person, but got to see his tag team, the Backseat Boys, with Johnny Kazmir, wrestle many a time, thanks to my friend Eric Loy and some other friends who had some DVDs. And it hurts me to say that we have to say that Trent Acid, also known as Michael Verdi, was found dead Friday morning by his mom. Or grandmother, that's never been 100% cleared up for us, that he was 29 years old, and yes, he wrestled as Trent Acid. He held pretty much every championship you could hold in Combat Zone Wrestling, which seemed to be the Backseat Boys' home promotion. He actually main evented on his own, breaking off from Johnny Kazmir for a little while. He had an awesome feud with Homicide and Ring of Honor, who had put some really nice notes out about Trent Acid on his Facebook page. And unfortunately, there isn't an autopsy yet. They're unfortunately going with the drug angle because of his past. So we wish the Verdi family nothing but the best. And if you are a fan of his and you live in the Northeast, this, I believe, was found on DOIWrestling.com, Declaration of Independence, that CCW owner DJ Hyde has set up with some other folks an Acid Fest tribute to Trent Acid at the former ECW Arena. It's supposed to be Saturday, July 10th with a 2:30 bell time. Admission will be free. They're kind of asking for a donation. I believe it's $5 or $10 to go to a Trent Acid Memorial to help pay for the funeral costs. Seating is going to be first come, first serve. There will be no GA or front row. It looks like it's going to be 6 matches, including a Trent Acid Battle Royal. Already signed for this, obviously, his partner, Johnny Kazmier, Adam Flash, who is the person I was able to get a lot of info on these guys from and interviewing him over the years, The Messiah, DJ Hyde, John House, Nick Gage, many others are going to be there. If you want to go to czwwrestling.com to check that out. And it sucks because I wanted to open this show on a high note and talk wrestling, and I got to talk about one of the biggest prospects that should have been somewhere. I remember sitting with, I interviewed Adam Flash of Combat Zone Wrestling, and I said, is there a tag team or a wrestler anywhere that you think should be in one of the big two, be it TNA Wrestling, be it WWE, possibly Ring of Honor as a third? And the first name that came out of his mouth was the Backseat Boys. And if you could find them on YouTube, I know Homicide's been posting some matches. Lots of guys that worked him posted a lot of matches. So yeah, it sucks to do that. We're going to actually be joined by a couple different correspondents tonight. Mace possibly will be joining us later on in the evening. Tim Stein is possibly going to join us later on in the evening. Martha Hart and World Wrestling Entertainment. I was supposed to have another contributor come on to talk WWE with myself. However, that person fell through. I do got a nice little replacement. If you listen to this network on Fridays at 6 Eastern, he hosts a show called Running the Ropes. He's also part of Rival Forge Wrestling. Say hi to Mav, everybody.
What's going on, guys? How's it going, Ellen?
We're doing pretty good. We're gonna try to pep up the show a little bit here with probably the weirdest WWE pay-per-view in recent memory. Watching the show with the Wild Talk Radio guys, and I don't know how much of the pay-per-view the fans got to see. I can't remember if it was Michael Cole or Lawler or it was Stryker that made the hint, the world title has never changed hands in the National Coliseum in all the years it's up. I immediately turned to one of my friends and said, we're seeing at least one title change tonight. How did we know, guys, that we were going to see not one, but two brand new champions? Thanks to the NXT crew, or as I believe Wade Barrett called them on Monday Night Raw, and we'll get to that show in a minute. They're kind of, I think it was trademarked as the Nexus. Thanks to the Nexus, Sheamus is the brand new WWE champion, taking out our friend Marky Mark, Randy Orton, and Edge. And it proves to you kids out there, if you want to succeed in life, here's what you do. You injure a guy, break his orbital bone, his nose. Tell him, no, you want me to go, I want to go do a Mexican show. No, you can't do the Mexican show. Wah, 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 I want to do the Mexican show. Okay, tell you what, we're going to cancel your vacation. You're going to get booked into a Fatal 4-Way match at our pay-per-view, and we're going to put you over. That's what happened, kids. Rey Mysterio, once again, is your world champion. Taking out CM Punk, The Big Show, who was awesome on Royal Pains, if you watch Royal Pains on USA Network, and the former champion, Jack Swagger, after Kane decided CM Punk was naughty, naughty, and he was the one that supposedly took out The Undertaker, not Rey Mysterio, because we don't talk that way. Also, you got a new Divas champ, guys, and that would be Miss Alicia Fox, who took out E. Torres, the champ, Maryse, and her Morb Drill malfunction, which we didn't get to see all of, damn the man, and Gail Kim, who actually was able to participate in the match, unlike on last week's Monday Night Raw, which we talked about here on this lovely event. You also had the Usos in a 6-man tag, which was actually pretty cool to see, the Hart Dynasty and the Usos with Natty and Tamina. You also had U.S. champ The Miz take out Ron Killings. Sorry, can't call him R-Truth. It's Ron the Truth Killings. I'm going to do it till the day I die. WWE can sue me. And then quite possibly the match of the night, and this map looks like it's possibly, depending on his downfall game show setup, the feud that could be the feud of the year. Chris Jericho lost again to Evan Bourne, redeemed himself last night on Monday Night Raw, but that hands down had to be the match of the night.
Yeah, for some reason, I you don't see Chris Jericho in much of these feuds with the younger guys at all. I think the last feud I've actually seen him in with a younger guy was Juventud Guerrera, so that says something right there. I like the way they actually gave them freedom for the match. I also like the follow-up on Rob, and you'll get to that later on, I know. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a very interesting match, very nice change of pace for Jericho, very nice way to get Evan Bourne in the spotlight for once. I mean, I'm just kind of glad they did it now instead of 2 years down the road where he's going to get buried again. So,
well, it's a big surprise, and we've talked about this on the show and other forums, even on the OWW Genesis forum, which you can access through our main site, onlineworldofwrestling.com, that the WWE has been using some of the, I guess you would call them mid-card talent, lower card talent. I'm never sure what the technical term is with The Office these days. But seeing guys like an Evan Bourne, who everybody knows is Matt Sydal, we talked about him last week with Kevin Kleinrock, who used to produce Wrestling Society X, where Matt was a part of. It's nice to see teams like the Hart Dynasty showing up, the Usos, the Dude Busters. You're seeing guys like Drew McIntyre, who people are going like, I can't stand that guy. Well, who cares? He's getting his job done. If you can't stand him, Triple H said it best, and this is way while back. I believe it was in the Bret Hart Wrestling with Shadows doc that he said, when he was doing the Triple H character, the Blue Blood, when I go and do my arm thing and I bow and they boo the crap out of me, I got him because I did my job. And that's Drew McIntyre's job. That's Jericho's job. That's why Jericho kind of picked him up and said, yay, I'm going to hug you. Get your butt back down on the mat.
Yeah, it's basically wrestling 101. Your heels are going to be damn good heels if people talk crap about you. I don't know if I could cuss on your show, and I don't want to mess anything up. But if people are going to talk crap about you, then you're doing your job. A lot of people don't realize that still. I mean, I can't say anyone listening in right now doesn't realize that. But even us as radio people that have shows like this, the more we talk crap about them, the more they're going to think, oh, well, he's doing his job. That works both ways, actually. But in Drew McIntyre's case, I love Drew McIntyre. The character they've given him is pretty similar to how, Eric Bischoff in WCW. The whole arrogant power, you know, power hungry type thing. But people talk crap about him because A, he's living up to a character, and B, he's the heel. So of course he's gonna pull out, oh, get on your knees and, you know, get on your back in the middle of the ring, you know, stuff like that. It makes a great heel, and I think he's doing his job. And at the same time, he's got a really awesome theme song.
Yeah, he gets under everybody's skin. And speaking of getting under everybody's skin, Monday Night Raw last night, kids, was from the home state of WWE, which is Connecticut. They did a little loop where Saturday night they sold out my home arena, Madison Square Garden, and Sunday they had a pretty good crowd in my other home arena, the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum. The biggest shocks out of that show, besides a faceless laptop GM, no, I'm not that. Neither is my 19-month-old daughter, who did produce this show tonight. Thank you, Abby. The biggest shocks out of there was, first, you had the NXT guys cut one of the, and we're going with the name The Nexus because that was what Wade Barrett called him last night. Rock and I were watching the show in separate households, obviously, since he's up north and I'm here in very balmy 90-degree Florida, that the promo after they interrupted the Natty Neidhart-Tamina match almost felt like someone from NBC Universal or I'm not sure if it was Linda McMahon's speech writers were like, come here, boys, we'd like you to say this. And it just felt like there was a teleprompter in front of all seven of them going, we're sorry.
We'll never do it again.
It's like a Christopher Walken role.
Yeah, I'm a single father, and I'm going like, yeah, my old tower, okay, whatever you say. So you cut that promo, kids, and then later on in the night, Sheamus does the 100-yard dash in, I think, like 3.5 seconds, and the WrestleTalk radio guys pitched the idea because of the way he won the belt the other night. They're figuring, you know, like, well, who's their leader? There's no defined leader, which is really true. They don't have a defined leader. Obviously, Wade Barrett's the one who had the original contract, and they still don't have a leader. And as obviously you saw, it sure looked like the boss, Mr. McMahon, was the leader until Vince took probably one of the worst beatings in his 60-some-odd year life. And I tell you, man, and Rock, and everyone that's listening here, find me the head of a multi-million-dollar corporation, almost billion-dollar corporation, that to get a storyline over like that will let seven guys kick the snot out of him and do a stretcher job out of the building. It was, I just was like, wow. Sometimes I don't respect Vince Mav, but on that aspect, I gotta toast my cup to Vince and go, wow, you got bigger ones than me, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. That's what makes Vince McMahon the kind of owner that he is. He's done it for years. He's been getting beat down to hell. He had a big cage match against Stone Cold Steve Austin in February 1998 when Paul White made his debut. That right there is pretty much it was something big. So I mean, that right there, it shows how much he likes to get involved with his product. So there you go.
And at this time, we will cover the Martha Hart stuff, kids. Don't worry, we're gonna get there. Sorry to call you kids. I was watching PTI earlier, and Tony Cordero, because everybody kids, like, well, on the TTI boys and girls, and I'm like, okay, I love Tony, but it's a little annoying. We're going to do a little thing before we go to our commercial break to get Mercedes Martinez in here. We are going to give you, from around the world, the Bryan Danielson news update.
It's the final countdown.
This is Bryan Danielson. Best wrestler in the world.
All right, he is the best wrestler in the world, guys, and he's unemployed. Well, not yet. 79 days until the clause goes away, if we did our math right, and sure good hoping we did. There's been a lot stuff going around here. I've got a page worth of it, so we're going to buzz through it as fast as we can. If you want all the actual update information from Bryan Danielson, you need to go to this site. It's called BryanDanielson.tv. He's got a store you can purchase two brand new shirts, including a red hot Obama icon shirt. You'll see his upcoming schedule, wacky photos, booking info, a blog, his Twitter feed, and a bio page. Now, if you think you want to know, Alan, where can I see Bryan Danielson in person? If you live in Detroit, his first match is the 26th. He's going to wrestle for Chikara. Not after that, he's not done yet. He's also already announced dates to be a part of Evolve Wrestling, July 23rd in Union City, New Jersey. And then the next night, he's going to do a dark match for Dragon Gate USA's pay-per-view, because obviously he can't appear in that situation. So I believe they announced he's going to wrestle Shingo. And I'm not 100% familiar with that product.
Dragon Gate USA is pretty much a very legitimate or American version of a Japanese wrestling company. I've watched Mercury Rising, where Tommy Dreamer took on John Morley, and it was good. I mean, the show is great. They bring in guys from the Dragon Gate Japan, and they put them in the ring. I mean, you see guys like BB Hulk, you know, guys like them, the Japanese wrestlers. So if you guys are Japanese wrestling fans, I highly recommend Dragon Gate USA, and that includes you Ring of Honor robots out there.
Yeah, and we've had Lenny Leonard on here a couple times. He's the voice of Dragon Gate USA, and he was vocal about the Bryan Danielson stuff. The other dates that are already announced for Bryan Danielson: Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, July 30th, and then Rampage Pro Wrestling out of Georgia on July 31st. He's also booked for the NWA Legends Fan Fest, August 5th to the 8th. And if you're going to attend that fair, you're going to see him take on, unless something changes on August 1st, I think it's at the Ohio State Fair that he's defending the belt. The NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, will take on Bryan Danielson on Saturday, August 7th. Believe it or not, WWE cares about Daniel Bryan. They don't care about Bryan Danielson, it seems, but they care about Daniel Bryan because if you're a member of the WWE Universe on their Facebook account, they actually sent out a thing. It's been the hottest topic for the WWE Universe in recent memory, so let's talk about it. Here's your like or dislike of the day. Should WWE re-sign NXT Season 1 rookie Daniel Bryan?
I saw that, and I'm like, but no one's talking about Daniel Bryan. They're talking about Bryan Danielson. There is a big difference here. They obviously don't care about what a wrestler has done getting to where he is now. They only care about what WWE does with them, whether it's keeping their indie name or not. The only person that I've seen that they kept their indie name for was CM Punk. And I personally find that insulting to Bryan Danielson. If I was in his shoes right now, I would say, let me be me. Let me be Bryan Danielson. Like, and I get it. WWE is the whole, you know, they're the big company. They're the major league. But this is Bryan freaking Danielson, man. This guy can out-wrestle literally anyone on the WWE roster. Except for probably the Hart Dynasty. But this guy can go. He's got the skills. He's got the talent. But just because he has talent doesn't mean he's WWE material.
Interesting point there.
Sorry, I like to rant.
You're fine. You're fine. You're totally fine. The previous regime ranted, but we're not gonna let you go for 20 minutes here. So we don't mention names either. We're protecting the innocent. The strangest thing, there's two strange things that came out of this. One involves the WWE and one involves a political organization. I got this off of, I believe it was Wrestling Observer, that Daniel Bryan's release didn't come from Johnny Laryngitis. It came from Vince McMahon personally. Vince McMahon personally phoned him Friday night and told him you're gone. WWE creative and company execs were said to have no idea that any trouble with Danielson was even brewing. Some knew there was some heat from the infamous Justin Roberts tie incident, but nobody expected what ended up happening. Obviously, Shawn Michaels chimed in.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I just want to say, I bet Justin Roberts was just overacting. I bet he was.
It's hard to tell, dude, because they were not told from what the company line or the internet line was. None of the ringside staff were told what happened. So I don't know if Justin Roberts did ham it up or not. That's to decide another way, shape, or form. The other funniest thing to come out of this, we obviously have heard, people probably also heard, this one's not funny, but this one I still got to read off, that for everyone that wants to praise Marky Mark, John Cena, I can't help it. Can't help it. He looks like Marky Mark. I've met the dude. He looks like Mark Wahlberg, all right? everybody's praising him about, oh, he's so nice and coming out and saying these great things about Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan. Well, WrestleZone.com said, according to a source within WWE, another reason that Bryan Danielson was released was because of the loogies heard around the world. That's right. According to the sources, that when he spit in John Cena's face, that not only pissed off Cena, that pissed off McMahon, because they felt it was too demeaning to the company's top babyface. Now, you want to talk about the wildest story out of all of this, Mav, rocking in the fans? The People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. That's right. PETA got involved here. PETA sent a letter to Vince McMahon asking for Bryan Danielson to be hired back. In this letter, it is quoted saying, I might not personally carry the same clout as other Bryan supporters like John Cena or Shawn Michaels, quote, although I do consider myself the showstopper of PETA, I am, along with many of my colleagues, a huge Daniel Bryan fan, not only because he humiliated The Miz and Michael Cole a few weeks back on Raw, but because he's a vegan. Just by saying vegan, Bryan saves more than 100 animals a year, a feat more impressive than any of Jack Swagger's accomplishment. Savvy athletes go vegan for the health benefits too, as they slash the risks of heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. So what do you say, Mr. McMahon? Bring Bryan back and let him prove that he belongs. And maybe they could even do a storyline romance between Bryan and that gorgeous vegan diva, Tiffany, who in PETA fans' opinion deserves another shot at Layla. I don't believe it, man.
Wow. That doesn't seem legitimate to me, but hey, if PETA steps up and says, hey, bring him back, we like the guy, he represents us pretty good, then hey, you know, more power to him.
Alright, at this time, we are going to take our first break. Mainly to get my voice back, because I'm fighting a sinus infection, yay me. At this time, we're going to thank Mav for coming on. You can listen to him on Fridays. He will possibly be back later on for the Owen Hart, Martha Hart situation. So he'll be hanging out in the chat room all night. 888-357-9876, option 1. If you're a Skyper, you can get Sorokin. He's our super cool board man. We're going to go out with some awesome ladies music. Yeah, Gwen Stefani, baby. Mrs. Gavin Rossdale. This is Online World of Wrestling Radio, and good Lord willing, we'll be back with Mercedes Martinez after this break. Looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
Hey everyone, This is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kind of did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer. I am the host of this.
Oh my God, shut up. Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Hawk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Hey guys, Maverick here, the host of the only show where it's okay to basically say,
Umaga in Samoan means shriveled up monkey penis.
Now I know what you're thinking. Why do I come on here talking about being a genius when I have so many problems with my own show? Well, it's simple, folks. I'm Maverick. I'm not Albert Einstein, for God's sakes. But if you're looking for a show with outlandish opinions of wrestling and the WWE, TNA, and the NorCal indie scene, then tune in to Running the Ropes, Fridays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everyone, it's Tim Stein here to tell you about a brand new podcast debuting soon, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The History Of will take you on a fantastic journey as we look at some of the most famous rock groups, funny people, and actors and actresses of all time. Utilizing the video abilities of Ustream as well as the lossless stereo sound of internet audio, The History Of will bring a totally new experience to Wild Talk Radio. So make sure that you join me, your host, Tim Stein, as we take a look at the history of some of your most favorite people ever. Make sure to keep a lookout for this brand new webcast coming soon, only to Wild Talk Radio. Wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the indie scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy.
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry. Janice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site for pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Tim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
Era solo un po' glota, no, secondo che la data di mattina, da chiudere ogni domingo. Una cosita ahí que te voy a poner por los pies, para hacerte bailar tú de carajo. Pase el coño, tigrazo.
888-357-9876 on my World of Wrestling Radio, option one tonight with Sir Rockin' as our board producer. That was the music of the current WSU champion, Mercedes Martinez, who is supposed to be joining us at this time. I do know she is in hardcore heavy training for the Saturday's event, which is being held at, if I got my page here right, the Ace Arena in Union City, New Jersey. Now, while we wait for Mercedes to call in, that was Angie Martinez playing, that's why, no relation. Angie Martinez was a DJ on Hot 97 in New York, yeah. She very easy on the eyes. Rock will message me if she does call in here. If not, we do have a second guest ready and waiting. If you're in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, tri-state area, yeah, sound like a car commercial. Here's how it goes. We got this information from the folks at Wrestling Women's Superstars Uncensored. It is Uncensored Rumble 3. Now, if you've never bought any of their DVDs, you need to go to one of their shows or go to WSUWrestling.com. I've been reviewing their DVDs for a couple of years. The big boss, Brad Dykens, on OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com reviews for them. They have a mini convention from 3 to 5, and then the live event starts at 6:30. It's $20 for the live event, $5 for the convention, or for only $20, you can pre-order tickets by writing BULLSMC at AOL.com, and they will go ahead and get you early tickets. Now, as we mentioned, the match of matches, and we'll have Alicia on in a few minutes here. Like I said, we're waiting on Mercedes Martinez, but due to her training schedule, she may not make it in here. I understand completely. You're focused on what is being billed as Icon versus Icon. It is the champ, Mercedes Martinez, who I believe has held the belt possibly as long as anyone in WSU. And if there's fans in the Wild Talk Radio chat room can correct me on that, they feel free to. I'm not 100% sure on that. But she's taken down some pretty heavy hitters, guys. She took out Awesome Kong. She had a match on a DVD that was probably one of the best women's matches I've ever seen. Whether it's in person or on DVD, she went 71 minutes. Think about that. She wrestled an entire 60-minute match with Angel Orsini and had no pinfalls, and then they went for another 11 minutes after that. Speaking of Angel Orsini, there is an Uncensored Rules Tag Team Grudge match. Her and former WWE ECW legend Jazz will take on Amber O'Neil and former TNA star Twice Removed, unfortunately. Nikki Rocks. There is an Awesome Kong challenge match. She will be taking on Rain. And if you've never seen Rain, either in an FIP show or when she was doing a little bit in TNA wrestling, Rain's one bad woman. She's evil. She's got Lacey in her corner. The current WSU Spirit Champion, Brittany Savage, who used to be known as Brooke Carter until some guy named Rick Italo got involved and it got ugly. She's going to take on Becky Bayless. Primetime Amy Lee. This is probably going to be the hardest hitting match of the night. Amy Lee versus Mickey Knuckles. Ow. You got the WSU Tag Team Champions, Jana and Cindy Rogers, taking on Aree Little Feather and Nia. You've also got Cherry Bomb taking on Daisy Hayes. Now, here's where the Uncensored Rumble stuff comes in. The Uncensored Rumble is basically what you think it is. It is a battle royal where every wrestler on the WSU roster, minus the world champion at the time, is Mercedes Martinez, fight to become the number one contender to the champion. Now, previous winners include Primetime Amy Lee and Nikki Rocks. It is contested under the Royal Rumble-style rules, yes, we can call it Royal Rumble, where they enter in 90-second intervals. Before you get to that match, there is an 8-woman tag match. Oh, it's Nia and a mystery partner. Okay, Rob McCabe in the room is cluing me in there. Aree Little Feather will not be there. Thank you. In this matchup, this 8-woman tag match, it's involving the lottery itself. The first person eliminated in this match enters as number one, and the person who eliminates the last member of the opposing team enters in the number 25 position. You've got Jessica Havoc and Dina Fly, and then another tag team called the Boston Shore, Amber Alexis, taking on the Bell Saints, which is Tina San Antonio and Marty Bell, also Latasha and Sassy Stephanie. Now, unfortunately, some of these names are a little unfamiliar to me because I haven't watched the product in a while, but these names are not unfamiliar to me. In this year's Rumble, along with all those other people, yes, Rick Cataldo, Mr. WSU will be there, Becky Bayless, Brittany Savage, Janice, Cindy Rogers, Awesome Kong, Mickey Knuckles, Amy Lee, Daisy Hayes, Nikki Rocks, Amber O'Neill, Jazz Rain, Angel Orsini are all going to be in this match. Like I said, you can log on to their website, WSUWrestling.com. They also have on that site a very interesting video setup going on. And I'm blanking on the name of it. I think it's called Uncensored Television, where they've had some very interesting interviews with the folks that are going to be involved in this event. Now, as I said, due to time constraints, I'm sure Mercedes Martinez would love to be here with us, but I guess training is more important, and I understand that completely. If you're not in that area and you want to go to another event, if you live in the Florida area, if you're a fan of Full Impact Pro Wrestling, the Saturday night at the National Guard Armory in Crystal River, they will be holding an event starting at 8 p.m. You can go to fullimpactpro.com for tickets. Mav mentioned John Moxley taking on Tommy Dreamer at a Dragon Gate show. John Moxley is the current FIP World Heavyweight Champion. And if you ever want to see an amazing matchup, try this one. John Moxley is going to have to defend the FIP World title this Saturday, not only against former world champion Eric Stevens, but current Ring of Honor star Roderick Strong. The current FIP tag team champions, the British Lions, which are Christopher Gray and Tommy Taylor, are going to take on ROH superstars and FIP stars, the Dark City Fight Club. Brad Allen's going to defend against 2009 Jeff Peterson World Cup entrant Egotistico Fantastico. And if you've never seen him in person, he's awesome. You've also got Caleb Conley taking on Johnny Vandal, the Marquis Bruce Santee, the Pro Wrestling Riot Heavyweight Champion, taking on Craig Classic. Irish Airborne, a new tag team, is going to take on Bums R Us, which is Milo Beasley, Rabies Jr., with their awesome manager, Milo Bearsley. He's got an awesome Twitter account if you're fans of his. There'll be time to squeeze in both interviews. As I said, we're unfortunately, Mercedes Martinez mapped out time saying that she would be available from 9:30 to 9:50, but I said training is more important. We're not offended in any way that she decided to do that. At this point, Rock, we're going to go ahead and take a break. And we'll come back because we do have the number one contender waiting in the wings. Alicia will be joining us in a moment or two here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. And we're fans of yours in the chat room and online. You can get us a 888-357-9876 option 1. Yeah, I got into that 888 thing because of Cindy Sin and her show on Thursday nights on this network, which last couple of weeks I've been talked into. She's like, you're doing my show. And I'm like, you want me to talk the naughty talk on your show? She says, yes. Can't talk wrestling. She says, no. Okay. Find the archive of that show from this past Thursday night. Rock can testify to it. You think some of the stuff we watched on TNA TV is scary? Wait till you see that stuff. Miss Alicia will be joining us after the break. 888-357-9876 option 1. If you're in the WildTalkRadio.com chat room or OWWRadio.com chat room, you can ask Alicia questions. We'll be back after this break on Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Certain passion.
Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry.
Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Give me back the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site that throws you. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the producer of Anything Goes, which you can hear every Thursday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, like most guys, and quite frankly girls out there, probably want to know what's going on through the mind of Sydney Sin. Well, here's a little secret. I have the inside scoop with that connected. And well, I've been secretly taping her dreams for a while now. So, let's hear what goes on.
Sir Rockin' is the greatest... Rock?
Oh, crap. She woke up. Well, if you really want to find out what her dreams, fantasies, and sexual desires may be, then tune into Anything Goes right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Thursday night. As for me, I guess I'll be there too once I find a way out of this shed she has now locked me in. Cindy, can you please let me out? I'll be good. I promise.
Hey everyone, this is the original voice of wrestling, Tim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk, Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Gonna do with all that junk inside your trunk.
I'ma get you drunk, get you love drunk off my hump. My hump, 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 my lovely little lump.
Check it out.
888-357-9876, option one, which is brought to you by HAKhost.com and UndergroundRadio.com. Wrestling Radio, I am Alan Wojcik, the guy who gets lucky every single week that Brad Dykens says, dude, you get to do this show again. Awesome. All right. If you're wondering where Mercedes Martinez is, she's training. And she's training because of the lady that's about to join us. She is the number one contender to the WSU Championship. She's held every championship in the promotion. That includes the heavyweight championship, if you want to call it that. I know it's women's wrestling. The spirit championship, which is currently held by Brittany Savage. We'll get to her later. And the tag team championships. Please welcome to the show the lovely Alicia.
Hello, everybody.
Good evening. Thank you so much for taking time out of your crazy schedule. I know from people that have seen the WSU Uncensored TV show on WSUWrestling.com and DOIWrestling.com, you've been busy training, and you've also been doing some trash talking, lady. I believe standing in front of a Cadillac Escalade and comparing the current champion to a Chevy Cavalier. That's pretty brassy for you.
I mean, it's truthful, though. I mean, sometimes you have to just go out there and call it how it is.
All right. You've actually been... I was stunned when I read this. You've been wrestling, involved in the wrestling business since you're 15. Tell us how that came about. And what was your family's initial reaction when you came home and said, Mom, Dad, I want to get beat up for a living?
Well, I always loved watching wrestling, and I always loved acting, theatrics, performing, everything all together. So when I was in eighth grade, I had to take a mini SAT to get into a high school, and I took the test, and my mom said, well, you know, you love wrestling, and you're not really into any of the stuff off at school, so why don't we just look at a wrestling school, and now if you do well on your test, maybe when you're 18 in a few years, we can set this as a goal for you to join. So my mother's actually been very supportive from the beginning, and we went to the IWF Training Center in West Patterson, which is run by Kevin Knight and still is, and they said, you know, it'd be great, and I said, what? They said, you could start training right now, and my mom surprisingly and supportively signed me up. But, you know, I quit things before. I quit swimming. I quit the clarinet, piano, basketball, softball. So she figured this is going to last a week. So she would take me to practice, and she'd actually wait there for me. And she'd hear me falling. And, you know, I had the bruises on my back from the ropes. I was sore. I was tired. But to her surprise, I never quit. And here I am still doing it today.
Now, you've been a part of WSU for a long while. How did you initially come to be a part of the company? Was it from day one that the WSU people had seen you on the indie scene and said, we want that girl, or did you approach them?
Well, what happened was I'm fortunate enough to be located in the New York, New Jersey area, which has an abundance of independent wrestling. So I was lucky to be able to meet everybody and see everyone. And WSU actually originally started as it's men and women's wrestling. It actually just transformed into just women. And I was a part of it when they first started having guys and girls on the show. So they were happy with what I was doing, and it was a really natural transition when they chose to do all women's wrestling for me just to stick with the company.
Now, you've been in and out of the company for a while doing research on this event. And for fans that weren't aware of it, as I mentioned, I have reviewed WSU DVDs thanks to Sean McCaffrey, the big boss of the company. Myself and Brad Dykens get DVDs sent to me. And one of the most amazing part was you had a pretty good streak going in the company. And then in December of 2007, you basically said, I think I'm going to stop wrestling. What led to that? Was it a personal thing? Was it you wanted to heal up injuries? Can you go into what happened?
Well, what happened was, I had always dedicated much of my time to wrestling, and in that year of 2007, I was actually, well, I've been going to school the whole time. I finished high school through it, and I've been going to college through wrestling. So I'd have to take off, you know, Thursdays through Mondays to go travel and do things, because at that time I was doing Shimmer, I did some Ring of Honor. I was doing WSU, Jersey All Pro. I was doing everything and traveling a bit. I ended up going on tour with the Insane Clown Posse for a little while. I went up to Canada and I worked. So it was getting really hard to balance, you know, the wrestling and school. And I was having the opportunity to have some scholarships, study abroad, do other things. So I was able to just stop in 2007, where I felt like I was in a good place, go to school. I finished my bachelor's, and now I'm almost done with my master's, and then come back to wrestling when I was all set with that. You know, the major reason was, in case anything ever happened to me, if I didn't get as far in wrestling as I had wanted to, or if I ever got hurt, I had something to fall back on. Because that's actually one thing that I was taught best from my peers in wrestling was, you always need something to fall back on, because, you know, I was young, this is something I wanted to do, but at the same time, you need to make sure you have some kind of cushion. So I decided to finish, but I missed it too much to stay away, and now I'm back in wrestling and finishing my master's.
888-357-9876, option 1 is the way to join us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio with Alicia. She is a part of Uncensored Rumble 3 this Saturday in Union City, New Jersey. WSUWrestling.com is the way to get tickets. You can also Skype Sir Rockin', or if you're in our chat room, feel free to ask her a question. One of the best things about WSU DVDs was the commentary, because you were a part of it. And there were some of the matches, I'm not ashamed to say, some of the matches, I'm sitting there going, wow, this is bad. But I get to listen to you and Missy Hyatt do commentary. Was that was all that stuff done live at the event, post-production? And what's it like sitting there working with Missy Hyatt? I believe at one event you guys were sitting there in parkas with hot chocolate freezing your asses off.
It was cold that day. I have to tell you, Missy and I doing commentary is the most raw footage. I mean, you're going to get up two girls watching wrestling and just going at it while it's going on. Everything we did was live. Everything we did was that second. And some of those matches, I hope that I entertained you at least, because I know I voiced my opinion on how I felt at the time too. And I mean, it was a lot of fun. Missy is such a colorful commentator. She always has something to say. She's funny, but she's very blunt and very truthful. And I had a lot of opinions on, you know, the technical styles of a lot of girls and a couple of different ways they did moves and execution, and she just had something to say about everything from the way they did moves to the way she didn't like the way they did their hair. So it was an interesting combination with her and I. I felt like it went well, and we had good chemistry together, and I really had a lot of fun. I hope everyone enjoyed it as much as we did.
Oh, you guys were right. You guys were. And some of the matches, as I said, I'm just sitting there going, wow, this is bad, but damn, they're funny as hell. Missy, and that's the thing. I always tell people, I say, if you want to borrow a DVD and you want to have a laugh, not for the resonance in the ring, but just listening to you and Missy, because Missy just, she was calling Rain names. She's calling these other girls' names. I'm just going, is anybody in the locker room going, I'm going to kick her ass? I mean, has anybody ever, have any of the girls ever watched any of the DVDs and come to the two of you and said, what the hell was that about? Or did they realize, you know, they're just getting us over and are joking around with us?
I think that they feel at first, from the way I've been approached at least, that they feel like we're just getting things over in a joking manner. But, you know, some of the things that were said between Missy and myself were very, I mean, they were really on that fine line as to which way it could go. And I think some girls were a little bit taken back by what we said, especially some of the things Missy said. But I love her and I support everything she said. But, I mean, they never came up to us and said, you know, Missy's going to get beat down or you're going to get beat down. But I think that they felt a little uneasy about something said, because it was very, I don't know what other word to use besides raw. What we were saying was raw. It was uncut. It was uncensored. And it was exactly what we felt right then.
888-357-9876, option 1 is way to join us. Do you have someone in our chat room that has a question for you? Jersey girl or Jer girl wants to know, where do you see yourself going in your career? Could you possibly be thinking WWE and TNA down the road? And who would you like to face in either organization?
Wow, that's a good question. As far as I go myself, I've always said in wrestling, I'm going to try to make it as far as I can while being happy and staying healthy, whatever that means. If that would mean going to TNA or WWE, absolutely. If that's not what it means, that's good too, either way. If there was someone in either organization that I could face, especially someone that I haven't, I would say it probably, honestly, I haven't wrestled Awesome Kong, and I would really like to do that. I think that she is an incredible entertainer, and she's someone that I would love to get in the ring with one day. Other than that, I mean, I don't know where I'll be. You'll have to stay tuned for that one.
You brought up working for both WSU and the Shimmer outfit, which is run by Dave Prazak and a favorite of this show, Allison Danger. I know this is a tough question to do because it's kind of like being a parent and saying, which one of your kids do you like more? But instead of saying which is the better promotion, talk about just the overall picture and the place that they have in wrestling today. Because as you mentioned, you know, Jericho brought up the comment about WWE and TNA. It depends on which day of the week you're watching their programs. Some days WWE's divas look like the greatest thing ever, and next thing you know, they're coming out and doing a bikini match and pig vomit. And the knockout division in TNA looks more like a MASH unit or a Tombstone unit with Awesome Kong and Nixie Rocks and all these girls that were there. Talk about just the overall place that women's wrestling has in the sport today.
I mean, overall, I think that women's wrestling is not in a bad place. I think that they've had a lot of opportunity to open up spots for girls. I think that Shimmer, TNA, WWE, and WSU, too, have all really given the girls a platform to really show off in. When I started, there weren't as many, I mean, there were not as many all-women's promotions. There was GLOW back in the day. But when I was, you know, up and coming, there was nothing around here for girls to start at. And I think that places on the indies like a WSU or any other girls' promotion are a good place for a breeding ground for girls to really get comfortable with themselves and get that exposure and just totally uplift themselves to another level to be able to get to a TNA or a WWE. And I know that it does depend on the day of the week as far as how far women's wrestling has really progressed and how good it looks at that moment, but I believe that there's been no better time for women's wrestling than now. And these girls have a great opportunity to really make a name for themselves and get great exposure. As far as the two places that I work, they're two different things, but they're all women. And both places give girls a chance to develop themselves in different ways. You know, WSU, of course, is very close to my heart because I've been there since day one. When I was gone, it was the only place I went back to. Sean the Mick is just an incredible person to be around. He's been fantastic to me all these years. And we're lucky that people like Dave Prazak and the Mick are giving girls an opportunity to get out there and really show their stuff and be able to give them that platform to get to the next level.
This is Alicia on Online World of Wrestling Radio. 888-357-9876. Option 1 is the way to join us here. You can also Skype Sir Rockin'. You mentioned disappearing to do your schooling, and we commend you on that. You made a re-debut in June of last year, helping the former Brooke Carter, now Brittany Savage, with her WSU Tag Team Championships, and that partnership seemed to go really, really good, until a little guy named Rick Cataldo got in her ear, and Brittany aligned with him. Talk about being traitored on like that. And I get this email question all the time from people when I do reviews. Rick Cataldo obviously is the most interesting character in the promotion. Do you feel that he hinders the product, or do you think the way his character is so flamboyant and so out there, he actually helps the product?
I can see where someone would come from asking that type of question. If you've ever been to a WSU show or if you've ever seen Rick in person, I would say that his character and just him overall is probably one of the closest things to a women's wrestler I've ever seen in my entire life. So personally, I think that having Rick around, it makes it unique in our promotion. Although him and I didn't always get along there, I still think that he does bring something to the table. And I don't think that it hinders anything. It's not like there are just random, you know, independent male wrestlers coming in and, you know, taking over mixed tag matches or doing this and that. But, I mean, Rick puts his makeup on with the girls. Rick does his hair with the girls. Rick practices with the girls. I mean, Rick, uses the bathroom like the girls. You know what I mean? So I don't think that he hinders the promotion at all. I actually think that he brings another dimension in what the girls are able to do. And I don't think every guy should be coming in and trying to do what Rick does. I think that he's an exception to the rule. And I think that he's good for WSU. I mean, fans are talking about him, so he's doing something right.
And they're talking about you because this match Saturday, the reason I feel it's called an icon versus icon match is because, and I may be wrong on this, so fans don't yell at me, you've won every championship in the promotion, and I'm not sure how many people have done that. Does this should, instead of being called the icon, shouldn't you be the franchise at WSU? I mean, Shane Douglas isn't wrestling right now. So can't we call her the franchise, Alicia? I mean, what is it like to be told that by this promotion? We're going to break the wall down and talk in a shoot format here. For them to come to you and say, we have this much confidence in you as a performer to put not only the tag belts on you, the Spirit Championship, which was a brand new belt at the time, and obviously being a multi-WSU champion.
It is very, I mean, I couldn't be any more complimented by them offering. I mean, just like even giving the idea of having that kind of confidence in me. Between all three of those titles and this year I won the Women's J Cup and this year I won the King and Queen Tournament, which is co-sponsored by WSU, it's just, you know, I have the support of the world now and the confidence to be able to go above and beyond. I feel like the confidence I've gained through, you know, winning these titles and doing these things has really helped me mature as a wrestler. Because when I was wrestling back in 2006, 2007, right before I left, it was a different style than what I do now. What I do now, yes, is still, you know, Alicia, and I'm still going down doing my thing, but it's a little more serious now, and at this point, it's becoming a lot more serious. Because gaining all of this and seeing a match like this Saturday this close to me, I mean, I can feel it in my veins that this is the biggest match I've ever had. And I feel like having everything behind me is making me 100% to go against Mercedes Martinez for that belt. I really have never felt so excited and just ready to get in the ring with someone ever before until right now. And that's real. I'm so serious. I cannot wait for Saturday. And I think all the fans need to come out. If they can get to the show, get to the show, because this is something you're going to want to see. Because you're not going to get Alicia at 100%. You're not going to get me at 300%. You're going to get me at 1,000%. Because I'm ready to prove to everyone in WSU that I'm back better than ever, and I'm going to take that belt from Mercedes. And that's real.
Hey, careful. TNA may see you for that. It's real comment. Kurt Angle sitting there going, stealing my bit, man.
Well, this is Alicia WSU here.
you've been a part of this Uncensored Rumble, and you commentated it before. If any of the wrestlers in the promotion either get this on podcast or see or listen and streaming right now, give some advice on how to survive this match. Because you watch it on DVD and you're just like, it's worse than a Royal Rumble, because you're just sitting there going, I'm fine. Oh, crap, there's primetime Amy Lee. I'm not done. Here comes Kong. give some advice on how to survive this match.
I mean, one of the things you have to remember going into this is it's all girls, and these girls are kind of catty to begin with, and everyone's very competitive, and everyone wants to win. So if there's a girl in there that you think is your friend, you better watch yourself. Because every single girl in there will get burned by another girl. And everyone is out for themselves. It doesn't matter if you are the brand newest girl in the entire world or you've been wrestling for 100 years. Everyone's out for themselves, and it just doesn't matter. You know, some people make the mistake of going into this match thinking that they're going to have some kind of like alliance or work with a partner till the end. I mean, it never works out. And that's something I've seen, especially with these girls. I mean, it is literally like they are out for blood. And you just got to watch your back. That's the best advice I can give. Don't think that anyone there is going to help you or go easy on you just because you know them.
And we had another chat room question. Jer Girl wanted to also know if I could ask you, do you think Mickie James, Alexis Lurie, I don't know what she can legally be called, do you think she would be welcome back in the Shimmer?
I really don't know at this point. I think she could be. I think that that's something that's really between them. I wish I could give you a better answer than that. I can't see how anyone could ever not welcome someone like that, especially with such great talent. I mean, I saw her wrestle before she was ever Mickie James or just years ago, and her talent is like unmatchable almost in that way, and I just can't see how anyone would ever not welcome her back. I'm not sure beyond that what they would do, but I mean, I'd love to see her background in every girls promotion that I'm in.
Yep, she's probably the hottest commodity out there female-wise right now, and she's not as hot as Bryan Danielson, who, you know, we've talked him to death. As a wrestling fan, what do you think about that whole situation? Have you ever, I know from being in certain promotions, you've done some Ring of Honor stuff. What's your overall feel on this whole Bryan Danielson thing?
I have to tell you that I didn't really know that much about it until some of my friends started explaining it to me, and I am just in like disbelief of everything going on. I mean, I just like can't believe it. And then you see people saying, you know, is it real? Is it not? I mean, it's just crazy to me. I never thought that I would see that whole situation just come out the way it did. And honestly, I really don't even know what to say because it's just, I can't fathom the idea that this is going on. As ridiculous as that sounds, I just can't believe it.
We have a wrestling technical question from one of our correspondents, Mace of Wild Talk Radio, who will be joining us in a couple moments to talk TNA wrestling. What would a woman have to do to get into the business the way it is currently? What areas should she focus on, and how should she handle the backstage atmosphere?
Well, first, you know, you always have to work on training, wrestling, the basics. That's what's important. You have to get in the ring. You have to get yourself trained at a good school with a good reputation. You don't want to go to, you know, like Joe and Mary's ring in their backyard in the middle of nowhere that no one's ever heard of before. Do your research. Be smart about it. Go to shows, introduce yourself, be polite, you know, get your face out there, because girls in the business today, they're looking to help new girls that are serious about it. Don't come into wrestling thinking that you're just going to meet people and make this a social event of the year, because that's not what it's going to be. It's hard work, it's dedication, have a good mindset, and an area that I think that a lot of places are learning is more important than before is, you know, your character and being able to speak. A lot of girls rely on their looks, and a few things they can do in the ring is everything. But it's really important to be well-rounded and be able to get out and get yourself over as whatever you are. It's good guy, bad guy, the funniest girl in the world, whatever it is, you need to be able to speak. And as far as handling yourself, you know, backstage, be polite, go to the show, do your job, and go home. That's it. You can't come in here. You know, a lot of these new girls, they make the mistake all the time. I just met some new girls recently, even from this area, where, you know, they're new and they're naive and they don't, you know, understand that they really need to, you know, be polite and have respect and, you know, pay their dues. And you need to come into it knowing this is a business. Everyone that's in it has, you know, worked their way up the ladder, and you need to do the same thing, and you need to go do the same stuff as all of us did. So just come in with a good, positive mindset.
Got another follow-up question to that, and this is the kind of intelligent questions that you're probably not used to. What is the most overlooked aspect in today's generation of wrestlers?
Of the wrestlers themselves?
I believe that's what. Mace is a trained wrestler, wrestles in Australia, and he's curious about how the American audience and performers. He's modifying his question. He's typing. Type faster, man. Making my guest has to go places. She's a busy lady. You saw what she drives in the video. She's got some guy waiting by an Escalade. Yeah, no, you don't need to be more a stupid wrestling fan. None of my fans are stupid. Well, I think what he's trying to get at is, you know, is it an in-ring thing? What do wrestlers overlook in the ring, or a gimmick, I think, is what he's trying to mean. Is there an aspect that they're not getting, that doesn't get them over with the crowd? Because for fans that have never seen a WSU event on DVD or through their website, the New York crowd, New Jersey crowd, they're not the most politest, as you kind of saw if you watched the four-way Sunday. They're not totally the ECW Philly crowd, but they're kind of in the middle of the road. So in your mind,
tough crowd over here.
Yeah, what aspects is there that you notice from other talent? We don't have to name names. That they got a great look, they got a great attitude, but they just can't get over with an audience.
I think that what people are overlooking is that you need to be able to connect with the audience, whatever that means. Whether it's positive, negative, whether it's even just get away from me. People are focusing on the look, which is important, their in-ring, which is important, and, you know, minor speaking, which I just spoke about. If you can't get the crowd to feel for you, you mean nothing to them. Because once you're in the ring, you're just doing moves, and then you're leaving. They're not going to care that you won or that you lost. You really need to be able to do it in a way that is modified for each crowd you're in front of, but still works for everybody. You know, New York, New Jersey, Philly, these are tough crowds. These people are not easy. When I went around to other parts of the country, they were a little more forgiving. But, you know, here it's tough. And you have to be able to connect with the audience in a different way. And it's a little bit harder when you have fans that, you know, are considered, you know, quote, smart marks or whatever. But you have to just find, you know, your niche and make it work for you, whatever that means. I mean, whether it's improving your in-ring and really getting your attitude out there more so that they feel what you're feeling, or just whatever it means to get them behind you or against you, or just get a feeling. They need to just connect with you. And I think a lot of people are missing that connection that links every single fan in the audience to just one person.
Jersey Girl, I gotta let her go, Jersey Girl, but I'll ask this one. I had one, but I'll ask this one. What number would you see yourself being in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated list of best female wrestlers? You really want to ask that? She's gonna tell you she should be number one, woman. You really want to ask that? You got the number one contender to the championship here, and you're wanting to know, does she think there's people better than her?
Well, I mean, I think you kind of answered that question for me. I mean, honestly, with everything going on, and especially after this Mets Saturday, I would hope to prove to everybody that I should be number one. So, yeah. I mean, the next time that comes out, I need to hit her up, and we'll see where I am.
Oh, compared to someone like Trish Stratus or Mickie James? Whoa, that's an interesting twist to the question.
Well, I mean, okay, so I would hope that I would be the highest I can be. I want to beat everybody in WSU. How's that? Every other girl in WSU, I'm definitely beating them, whatever number that falls at.
Yep, there you have it, fans. This Saturday, Ace Arena. The convention is from 3 to 5. The live event is at 6:30. You can buy tickets through WSUWrestling.com. And hopefully we can have her back on if she... Well, it's hard for me to pick this match because I'm a fan of both wrestlers. And I'm more intrigued just to see what's going to happen, because as it's being billed, this is WSU Icon versus WSU Icon. And you, my friend, have truly earned that nickname, and I want to thank you very much for being a part of our show. If you want to hang on for a second, we'll talk off the air. After this break, folks, we will be back with some TNA news, including the trash talking of, you think the trash talking of the ladies is going on in here right now? Wait till you hear what's been going on between Lay Cool and the beautiful people. 888-357-9876, option 1. We'll be right back here on Online World of Wrestling Radio.
The NHL regular season has come to an end. The Calgary Flames are heading home. They suck. Which now means Wednesday nights are free to be geeky. Join myself, Omega, and that guy that will eventually put into the intro, Mace, every Wednesday night as we bring you Geek Talk done right, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
you're looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans, then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
Hey, all, Mace here. Street shooter, opinionated, unprofessional. For months, we've had Maverick running around saying how he's on college radio, how he's professional, he's giving us free plugs. But you know what? Screw that! If you want to listen to a show that's handcuffed and censored, go listen to his show. If you want to listen to real people with real opinions using real language, then you come listen to us. WrestleTalk Radio is the place where we might cuss out a storm, but we are always entertaining. So join Spug, Will, Omega, Tim Stein, and myself as we give opinions uncensored every Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now you hear that, Mav? That's real. That's damn real.
Hey guys, Maverick here, the host of the only show where it's okay to basically say,
Umaga in Samoan means shriveled up monkey penis.
Now I know what you're thinking. Why do I come on here talking about being a genius when I have so many problems with my own show? Well, it's simple, folks. I'm Maverick. I'm not Albert Einstein, for God's sakes. But if you're looking for a show with outlandish opinions of wrestling in the WWE, TNA, and the NorCal indie scene, then tune in to Running the Ropes, Fridays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Triple A 357-9876 option 1. Before we get to our guest, we wanted to bring up one simple TNA note. The reason that the Britney Spears music was played was because I wanted to talk about this in the opening hour. Everybody talk. This is Ladies Night here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Our guest, if she can hold on for a moment, we'd appreciate that. The catfighting has started big time, folks. You thought it was
the internet people doing it. Uh-uh. Try the battle of Lay Cool versus the Beautiful People. Now, apparently in response to accusations of Lay Cool copying the TNA's Beautiful People, the women's champion Layla L, or Layla as she's known now, remarked the following on Twitter. She remarked this: because of all the tweets about this subject, for the record, I do not watch TNA. So copycat thing, kinda not. This is all I will say, done. Vicky Guerrero got on board. She also remarked, saying, TNA, no way will I watch it or support it, enough said. They're not done yet, because a very upset Angelina Love got on board Friday night while she was watching, I guess she was watching SmackDown, and said, so this is what I get quickly flipping through a channel on a Friday night. A blonde and a brunette blatantly ripping someone off. Brutal. The TNA Knockout made similar remarks online last year after Maryse took a page out of the Beautiful People playbook by spraying Mickie James with hairspray during a match on Monday Night Raw. She said, you can try, but you can't and never be the TDP to Beautiful People. That gimmick is interesting, but what's more interesting is her challenger talked, and now it's time to steal from the other man on the show. The champ is here. WSU champion Mercedes Martinez, thank you for taking time out of your day to be here on Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Hi, how are you?
We are very excited you were able to make it. Your opponent did some trash talking, and we'll get to that in a moment. But for fans that don't know who she is the current WSU champion. This Saturday, Jersey City, be there. If you don't know who she is, go to OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com and look up her profile, because some of you like her enough, because in 2006, OWW.com awarded this woman the best independent female wrestler. You've been a busy girl since we did a print interview for my website a little while ago. We alluded to it earlier in the show when we were teasing this event. This past Saturday, we'll get to this past Saturday's event, but before it, you were at another event, and a funny thing happened on the way to your car. You got attacked by Brittany Savage in a bull rope. What the heck? Obviously, something went through your mind besides, I just got hit in the back by something. How long did it take for it to register in your head, and what do you think? Did it ever come out on the WSU website? What was Brittany's cause for attacking you at a bull rope?
From what I believe her intention was to send me a message saying, you know, I'm taking your title one way or another. She's been a pain in my ass literally for the last couple of months, just trying to get under my skin. And you know, she helped take away my tag title, and I think at that show where she attacked me with the bull rope and, you know, tried to drag me literally down the streets of Union City, was pretty much sending me a message. And basically, I didn't know what was going on. You know, a cowbell definitely does her. I mean, I did put through tables, but getting hit from behind was definitely something I didn't expect, you know, especially after the show was ended. I didn't expect someone like her just to come out from behind and hit me. But nonetheless, she did, and she sent her message very, very clear to me. And my response was just most likely, hey, you know what? The last Saturday that just passed, I'm going to kill you. Legit.
And well, you killed her. You took out, if I read this right, and I got this from New York Wrestling something. I saw one of their shows a couple years ago out in Deer Park, and was like very enamored with the promotion because Jerry Lynn was there and Plasma, who wrestles now for WWE, in the Dude Busters tag team was there. You not only took out Janna, not only did you take out Rick Cataldo, you did take out Brittany Savage. What kind of strategy? I mean, was this like totally thrown at you? Break it down for the fans. How did this three match in one night even come about?
Basically, Brittany Savage wanted to use her, advantage in that match. The way she put it was, it's a Cosmo Club rules. And basically what it is she has this club or this group of hers or faction called Cosmo Club. And basically for me to get to her in the bull rope match, I had to get through two of her members. And obviously it was unexpected. Obviously I was still kind of reeling in and a little furious from the attack the weekend before with the bull rope. But nonetheless, I ran in there ready, you know, to start a fight. Not even to wrestle, but more or less to fight. So two other people who, you know, who decided to want to join her club, Jana, she basically attacked me from behind. And my mentality was, if I have to go through 10 people just to get my hands on Brittany Savage, I would do it in one night. And basically that's what I did. I ran over Jana, literally scared Rick, because he didn't even get in the ring. He got in the ring and literally ran right out. And he got counted out, so he didn't want a piece of me. And then there's Brittany. And basically, I just took her out and unleashed my fury on her. I did not care.
We've got a chat room question that I'm going to work into one that I wanted to ask. Jersey Girl wanted to know, what is the toughest match that you've had in your career? For me, I mean, in my opinion, I asked this of other people. You wrestled on June 6, 2009, in one of probably the best women's matches I've ever seen in person on a DVD with Angel Orsini, where you ladies went 71 minutes. Was that your toughest match in your career, or is there one that I haven't mentioned or the fans don't know about?
As of right now, that is probably my toughest and probably the best match of my career. I mean, I've had a lot of matches, you know, with Sarah Duray, which was probably the highlight of my career back when Shimmer first started. Sarah Duray was probably my toughest opponent, but when I wrestled Angel in that 71-minute match, that took me beyond my limits. Like, just wrestling for 30 minutes is an accomplishment a lot of people can't do, but wrestling for 71, that took me above and beyond my own standards. So as of right now, up to this point, that would be my best match of my career and probably the toughest, just because you can't take Angel Orsini lightly at all, because she's been in this business longer than I have, and she legit helped me in this business. So for me to wrestle someone who helped groom me for this business was an accomplishment in its own. So that's probably, I set every match that I wrestle now to those standards. For the way I accomplished that match, what I had to go through that match, just preparing for that match, just to wrestle an hour, that would be the match of all time, number one in my career as of right now.
She is the current WSU champion, Mercedes Martinez, the Latina sensation, as she is nicknamed by everybody else. 888-357-9876 option 1 is the way you can join us here to talk with the champ. You can also message us through the Wild Talk Radio chat room or the OWW Radio chat room, where you can Skype Sir Rockin'. I'm not 100% sure on this, because no one's actually given me facts and figures on this, but I know you've been the champion for a little bit more than a year right now, and you have defeated some pretty heavy hitting names. You've taken out Hall of Famer Sumi Sakai, you've taken out Melissa Coates, Amber O'Neill, Angelina Love, who we mentioned earlier with the TNA news, you've taken out Nikki Rocks and Rain, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, you took out Awesome Kong. Of the list of ladies that I just mentioned, was there any of them that you looked on paper and said, how the hell am I going to compete in the ring with her? Or is it your confidence as champion that took over and said, how are they going to take me out?
Well, I think going into any match, any championship match, I go in with a certain level of confidence. I mean, I'm a champion for a reason, and I go in there with confidence in my abilities that I can walk out still a champion. But on paper, I've wrestled most of these girls before, and I think the only one that I looked on paper and was just like, wow, will probably be Awesome Kong. She's a phenomenal athlete, and just I saw her stuff in Japan, and just from watching her in Shimmer, it was just like, okay, now we're a one-on-one. She's going for my title. There might be a chance that I might actually lose my title tonight, just because on paper it's such a total mismatch, because she's just an animal in the ring. I think she would be the only one that I actually was a little concerned. Everybody else, it was more or less, we wrestled before, I know your weaknesses, I know your strengths, I know what you're about, they know what I'm about for the most part. But she was the only one that I was more concerned about than anybody that I've wrestled thus far, just because I didn't know what to expect with her. I didn't know what her mentality was. My mentality was going in and walking out champion, but I knew it was going to be a tough match. But she was definitely one that I didn't expect to actually pull out a win. And when I did pull out a win, I was shocked in myself. I was like, yeah, I'm actually still champion, thank God. So I think she was the only one that I on paper was looks like I was a little concerned, but I prevailed and I came out victorious.
Mace is one of our contributors from WrestleTalkRadio.com. He's off headset right now, but he wanted me to ask this question about a promotion that this show's not exactly friends with because of an interview we did with the executive producer. Given your character, Maria Toro, in Wrestlicious, and your experience as the WSU champion, can you compare the two in terms of wrestling, or as Johnny Cefarelli, when he was on here a few weeks back, said, we're not wrestling, we're an action comedy show with a wrestling theme?
And that's basically what it is. I would have to agree with him. It's my character on Wrestlicious, Maria Toro. I do wrestling, and it's more of a comedy-based type style wrestling, and you know, that's basically what it's set for. A lot of people want to dog it down and, you know, say, hey, this is not wrestling, but my character does wrestle. I go in that ring and I wrestled. I'm wrestling just like I would as Mercedes Martinez. Just because I was given a different name and a different character, I play that character, but it doesn't limit my abilities of wrestling in that ring. The whole company as a whole is legit what he says. It's action comedy. It's basically what you see is what you get. It's more or less for fun, and it's going to be catered to all ages, not just to a certain genre. Whether you like it or you don't, you're still tuning in whether you dislike it or not. So obviously there's something that's catching your eye, whether it's the comedy spots or the little skits that, you know, are 80s themed or whatever you guys want to call it. I can't compare it to any other company. It's different. It's its own genre right now. It's in its own form. And I found it to be very fun and very different than any company I've worked for. So my character, Maria Toro, that's just what it is. It's a character that they were given to me, and I went in there and just still wrestled regardless. And, you know, that's just how it was.
Well, the obvious follow-up question to that would be, where do you enjoy working more? Was it working for the Wrestlicious tapings, or are you more a fan of working for like WSU Shimmer and those kind of companies?
I like to keep working for like WSU and Shimmer. Wrestlicious is more of a laid back atmosphere, which I love. I love a laid back atmosphere, but it was more or less, an experience that I wasn't used to. It was something that was comedy, but if it was up to me, because I'm so physically demanding on myself and just, you know, so I challenge myself in any match that I do that I will just keep continue. I prefer anything like WSU and Shimmer because it's something that on a regular basis, and I wrestle, get to wrestle every weekend on a regular basis compared to just a season, like Wrestlicious is. You know, you tape all these shows and it's for a season and not necessarily every day. So if I had to choose one or the other, I would always choose, you know, an indie promotion that runs on a consistent basis and not just for TV.
My wife asked me to ask this question because she I showed her some photos of you. My wife's got a love of ink such as you, because I saw you wrestle here in Florida for Full Impact Pro. And after the interview to be done, I said to my wife, I said, you want to see some of the girls that I've been interviewing? Fine. Here's one of them. Is there any brand new ink that you've gotten since our interview last March? Anything you want to boast to the fans about? You want to see some tats? I got some tats.
Since March, I believe the newest ink I've gotten, I want to say, would be probably the one that I've gotten on my left hand. It's a rosary bead, that I've gotten just to kind of test my faith, because my faith is, in obviously God is something that, propels me to live every day. But that would probably be the most newest ink besides the one around my waist. I believe I have around 10 tattoos on my body, that are connected into each other. My most famous one, well, the one that I love the most, the one that has most significant, is the one for my dad, who passed away 3 years ago before I went out for surgery. That's the most piece that I love the most, which is on my left shoulder. That's the piece in memorial for him. But all my tats all have a symbolic, something symbolic for it. I just don't get ink just for the hell of it. They always have to have a symbol, and something has to happen in my life for me to get it. So I would love anybody to, you know, anyone who asks me about my ink, I always try to tell them the significance between each and every one of them, but there's just too many just to keep going into too many details.
888-357-9876, option 1 is the way to join us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, or you can Skype Sir Rockin' or join us in our chat rooms. Jersey Girl wants to ask, I don't refuse any question. I've learned to do that recently. No matter how crazy the question is, she wonders if people ever have confused you with current WWE superstar Jillian Hall's ex-gimmick name, Michaela Martinez. Tell her not to kill me is what she also messaged.
No, I've never actually gotten that at all. I remember Jillian Hall and Michaela when she first started, but we never actually crossed paths, and we never actually, I was never ever compared to her in any way, name-wise or anything. So tell her not to worry about it. I won't kill her. I welcome any questions.
Hey, the reason that both you and Miss Alicia were here tonight is because this Saturday, it's Icon versus Icon. And like I said, she's had some harsh words for you on the uncensored TV show that WSU's put out. I believe actually comparing you at one point to her Cadillac Escalade and calling you the equivalent of a Chevy Cavalier. You got an open forum. Just remember, we're PG because of our bosses and the Online World of Wrestling site being our sponsors. Your thoughts on being called a Chevy Cavalier to her Cadillac Escalade?
The way I see it is, no matter what the price on a car is, I'm still going to be running. The way I see things, it's everything's all talk right now, and I'm done talking. I'm not going to sit here and keep talking and talking some shit and basically, I proved myself in the ring, and she knows what I'm capable of, and she knows exactly what's going to be coming on June 26th, this Saturday. So she can talk while she can talk, but this Saturday I'm going to walk the walk. And she want to compare herself to a high-priced car, go right ahead. You're going to come in high-priced, but you're going to walk out junk, literally. I'm going to make sure that you're literally towed out of that ring if you want to compare me and want to keep talking. I'm not here to talk. I'm here to prove myself, and that's all I've been doing up to this point now. So I have no words for her because, like I said, I'm done with the talk. Now it's time to put my actions in the ring, and come this Saturday, she's definitely going to get more than what she bargained for.
Barring her winning the championship, you'll be the person waiting in the weights for the winner of the Uncensored Rumble. You've been a part of this event, and you've seen it in person. Any advice for any of the ladies that are coming into this match this Saturday? Because as we mentioned with Alicia, we ran off the list of names. There's former champs in this match. There's names like Amy Lee and Awesome Kong that could clear a ring just by getting in it. How do you describe this match for the other ladies that are coming to get you as the champ?
I've been part of this match before, so it's one of those things where you go in with a level of confidence, but you know that at any time someone can come from behind and literally take your dream of winning the Rumble and have that shot at that title. So any advice to anybody going into that ring is just watch your back and watch what's going on. Always have a sense of where you are and where your opponents are. Take those advantages. If you have friends in that ring, take them out, because it will be just as likely to take you out if they had the opportunity. It's every person for themselves. And with the list that's in there, it's probably one of the most star-studded Rumbles I've seen since in the 3 years that I've been with this company. It's pretty much been, you have Amy Lee going in there, you have Awesome Kong in there, Angel Orsini, Nikki Rock, you have all these former champions that their mind is literally set on winning. So I don't know who's going to come out of this winning. I challenge anybody. It could be someone who's just as new in this business as, you know, as Nia or, you know, Deonna Fly or any of those new rookies. You just don't know who's going to walk out. It's more of a skill. It's not more of the skill that you have in the ring. It's more of taking the opportunity and seeing your opportunity. You know, if someone's going out of the ring and getting ready to take them out. Help anybody you can, but just remember to watch your back. That's how I went into this Rumble. I didn't win the Rumble, but doesn't stop me from becoming champion. So, you know, if you don't win the Rumble, there is always ample opportunity to get your shot at a title. So don't let it, you know, I always tell everyone, don't let it be your only shot, but just watch your back. Always watch your back.
We've got a couple questions left before we let you go, because I know you've got a very busy life outside of wrestling. You've been wrestling since, I believe, 2000. And other than your knee injury, which we covered in our print interview a couple years ago, which can be read at alanlojic.tripod.com, how long do you honestly expect to wrestle? Is WWE, TNA, full-time in ROH, another promotion, a goal? Or are you happy with your current place being the WSU champion and working with Shimmer and occasionally being in Wrestlicious?
The goal is always to be in WWE or TNA or get a contract with any company that, you know, will give you that full-time status as a wrestler. I didn't get into this business just to become a part-time wrestler. I always wanted to become a full-time wrestler. Obviously, injuries will always stop you from becoming that full-time wrestler. Obviously, with the knee injury, stopped me for a couple of months. And when I had shoulder surgery, it took me out of wrestling, actually out of my own personal life as well, for about a year and a half. But as of right now, at this moment, I'm content where I am due to what these companies like WWE and TNA are doing with their women. I don't knock them down, but I consider myself a wrestler, and I want to be wrestling and not just doing entertainment. You know, I'm so physically demanding on myself that I, and my fans help me become who I am, that I wouldn't want them to be cheated out of seeing me on TV and not performing to my ability. So for if a fan loves to see me every weekend, I want to give them to that and not just be put on TV for eye candy. I want to wrestle, and that's what I want to do. And if I have to stay on this level to keep doing what I love, then I will. It's not always about money and fame. I wasn't brought up with that notion, it's money and fame. As much as I want it and I need it, probably the money part, but it's not something that prevails me, or I don't set those standards up high. You know, I do this for the love of it. It was never about money. I do it to become the best in this business in any level. And if I ever get to reach that level, then hopefully those companies will utilize me correctly. But if it's not, then I'm content and I'm happy as where I am right now, just because the fans may need who I am, and I don't want to cheat them out if I ever do reach that level.
Right. We do have, being a part of the Wild Talk Radio Network, there's a couple other wrestling shows on this network, including Wrestle Talk Radio, and some of their guys join us here on Online World of Wrestling. One of them would be, his nickname is Spug. He's a trained wrestler out of the Cleveland area, and he wanted me to ask, being a women's wrestler, do you feel that what the big two promotions are currently doing to women's wrestling, taking style over substance and the quote-unquote blow-up dolls over real women and real women's wrestlers, do you feel that that is slap in the face of women who paved the way before, such as a Wendi Richter, Sensational Sherry Martel, and the Fabulous Moolah?
I don't take it as it's somewhat a slap in the face, to a certain extent. I always think that in this business, when you reach levels of certain fame, that, you know, you have to do stuff that you're not happy about, or stuff that, you know, your bosses tell you. I'm one to say it's not always about your look. I like to perform, and I'm not too worried about the way I look in the ring, because I'm an athlete first, and then eye candy second. And I believe any true wrestler will always tell you that they are a wrestler first before they become anything else. And I would hope every woman wrestler thinks like that. Some probably not, but that's how I think, and that's my opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion. I just think that if I'm going to go in the ring, I'm going to show you the athleticism first before showing you eye candy. And that's just how I was brought up, and that's how I was trained. And that's just, you know, something that I think WWE should utilize, like they did before when they had talent like Moolah back in the day, or Wendi Richter, Ilani Kai, and then even up to the point where they had Molly Holly and Jazz. When they had those types of wrestlers, it was a whole different genre and a whole different style of wrestling compared to what it is now. I don't knock the girls for trying this business and, you know, getting ahead because of their looks, but at the same time, make sure that you take pride in your craft as well.
All right, we've got one more, and it's from Mace. He's also a wrestler, wrestles out of the Australia area. Wanted to know, what do you think it would take to get the company like WSU to be considered the Ring of Honor of women's wrestling? Do you think that it's at that level now? Like, we asked Alicia to try to compare Shimmer and WSU, and it's obviously a totally different product, but take his question for what it be. Do you think WSU could signify itself in a Ring of Honor style eventually?
Yes, I believe WSU has proven that thus far with being one of the top promotions in any promotion, women or man, just for the sheer athleticism and talent and the depth of talent that we have. Obviously, you can't compare WSU to any other company. A lot of people like to compare it, like you said, to Shimmer. But they're on two different, totally different paths. I believe WSU relies on its local talent and wants to, you know, make their own homegrown superstars, whereas Shimmer, you're already taking stars who already proven their name and just throwing them into the mix and making star quality matches. So that is the difference between those two. I think WSU right now is on a roll, has, you know, we're getting all the press that we can, and, you know, we're one of the top women companies to put new girls on the map, as well as taking, you know, the talent and making some quality matches with the old style of booking as well. If you look at the storylines, every match is not just put together for the hell of it. It's a storyline based, and it gives the fans a chance to tell a story, and it gives us to tell a story and work the old style of the way wrestling used to be run. It's not run like any other company now. And I hope it tends to grow, like, you know, something like a Ring of Honor, and, you know, I hope that we do get a contract for TV, and that's our goal. And, you know, little by little, we are getting that recognition, and, you know, I just hope that I can do what I can as champion to keep propelling WSU to a higher standard and just keep raising the bar. Every time, you know, I wrestle, I raise that bar with my work, and now it's just taking WSU to more higher standards and getting to that point where, you know, we are number one in women's wrestling and we surpass anything that anyone ever even thought of.
This Saturday, you've heard it here, you've heard it challenge you here. The Saturday the time for talk will be done, Uncensored Rumble 3 in Union City. I don't know why I said Jersey City, two totally different areas. The New Yorker in me is going, you know that, dumbass. I want to take this opportunity to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be a part of this event, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me. Come out, check out WSU this Saturday in Union City. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Okay, hold on for us for 1 second. We'll be back in a moment here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, where we will talk about the Ric Flair off of TNA Wrestling. Online World of Wrestling Radio, we'll be right back.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent. today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry. Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
TJ Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site of the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons and Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
What up, Matt?
Ooh, yeah, this is somebody doing a really bad impression of Macho Man Randy Savage telling you to snap in to WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ooh, yeah, dig it!
Set it on fire, fire, fire.
I don't want to go. I love this song. And if you stayed for the credits of the Transporter 3 with Jason Statham, you heard that song. Set It On Fire by Eve here on Online World of Wrestling Ladies Night, which is kind of going to take a gentlemanly tip here because I couldn't get any other women to come on and talk with us. Cindy Sin was like, I'm going to try to get there, but I've got more important things to do than be on your show. And I was like, okay, fine. Go and do your thing. That's okay. We're not going to get mad at her. This has been a fun show. I appreciate everybody for being here. As we said, each and every week here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, thanks to the Wild Talk Radio Network, the big boss Brad Dykens and Jason Dedrich for giving me the honor of being on this show every week. We are going to be joined now for some TNA chat. Mav is back. He put down the Xbox to, what game are you playing?
I was playing back and forth between Star Wars Force Unleashed and Shadow Complex, which I bought today.
Now you can talk about that kind of cool stuff with Mace, with Spug and Omega on Otaku Talk Radio, which is on this network tomorrow night at 9:00. The man, the legend himself, Mace, will be joining us in a moment or two. So will Spug. They're also going to be involved with the super guru of wrestling from Canada. Tim Stein will be on. Fingers crossed, he's going to talk with us in a little bit after we'll do the Owen Hart stuff. But the first thing we want to talk about is obviously the event this past Thursday night that it was the talk of everywhere else. It was the Ric Flair off where they talked about it on WTR. I had to bring it up. And the thing that annoys me more than anything is that this involves shoe wear, man. I mean, Ric Flair took his footwear off and threw a shoe.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly, you fight like a woman.
And that was one of the first things I thought of. I was sitting there going, Conan is sitting somewhere in Mexico going, gimmick infringement! Because Conan was infamous for that. They were in a from him after TNA events. I post him a stuff, and Jeremy Borash walks him over to me, says, this is the guy that wrote the thing. And I'm like, oh, crap. Here we go in the middle of the Orlando Ale House. I'm going to get reamed out by Conan. And he said, I'm a little offended by it. I said, dude, there was men in humor. It wasn't a disrespect to you, but I want to go around the room here for a second to Mav, then to Mace, and if Spug's back with us, because Spug was getting a frosty beverage. Your thoughts on this whole angle, because it's already been announced at Victory Road, Jay Lethal is going to take on Mr. I'm Not Retired, WWE Made Me Retire. Mav, are you honestly looking forward to Ric Flair, Jay Lethal, or are you sitting there going, dear God, somebody stop creative from doing this?
The only thing I'm looking forward to in this is the promo work again this week. The match itself, I'm not, you know, too thrilled about because it's two completely different styles and all that, but if they keep the promo work up and they keep it as like a very promo-heavy built match, then I think it can work. Then again, it's TNA consistency. Yeah, right. So, but hey, you know, anything can happen.
Your thoughts on this whole thing, Mace? I know you guys talked about it at WTR after the pay-per-view. Your thoughts on the Ric Flair off?
Did I hear you say?
I'm sorry. The second he started that shit, man, I was gone.
Potty mouth. The boss is listening. He'll kill me.
My apologies.
He said it, Brad, not me.
My apologies, Brad. I'll take my gunshot later. It's all good. Believe me, I'm still in a bit of pain from physio that I've just been to, so excuse slips of the tongue. But yeah, the second they started with the promo work, I was on the floor laughing, man.
It was epic.
The best thing I have seen. I don't often try and get clips of the shows, but I had to go hit YouTube. I had to get it there to put in my personal collection because this was insane. Whether or not it ends in a match, I don't really care at this point. I am quite happy to sit back, give those guys microphones and say, just go for it, boys. This is probably the best thing that has happened to Jay Lethal in a long time. A lot better than the Black Machismo gimmick. And yeah, if people want to sit there and watch something and be entertained, this is going to do it.
Your thoughts on this? Because I know you're not a big TNA guy, Spug, but as a wrestler, were you just sitting there going, yep, he still got it?
Woo! Big man, let me tell you. No, I enjoy it thoroughly. Because so rare is it that somebody can do mic work to that extent.
What was that? It sounded like Bill Cosby doing a Ric Flair impression. Whoa. I don't know about that. I mean, are we sitting there going, guys, you know, why Ric Flair? Why? I mean, he's doing what he said he was originally wasn't going to do. You know, I'm respecting Shawn Michaels and I'm not going to wrestle again. And then he did a thing lockdown and then he got involved and now he's going to do another match here. Do we think this is like a one and done thing or is this Ric Flair coming back full time? And we can take it around the room. We can start with Spug and go back. Did I lose him already? This is drink. Your drink's more important than us, isn't it? Okay.
Well,
Is this Ric Flair match at Victory Road a one and done, or do you think this is the push, a full-time Ric Flair push? Is he going to be this fortune gimmick that he started this past week on TV? Is this Ric Flair as the wrestling leader of him, or do you think this is a one and done match for Ric?
I don't know. I don't know, because if you ever read anything about Flair or listen to the man talk, he puts on the show that he has tremendous amount of respect for the business and the unsung rules and unwritten code of the business. So, you know, if he retired, and there is rumor, and it has been, you know, spouted out by Ric Flair that WWE made him retire, that he didn't want to, that he felt he could still go. Even so, you know, he went through with it, and he, you know, he gave somebody his last match. That's a tremendous honor. And Mace can agree with me on that. And so, when you do that, I would hope that you would have enough respect for the guy that you gave your last match to not fall back on that and be a complete tool.
What are you thinking, Mace? Are you thinking, yeah, I'm happy Ric Flair's back, or are you sitting there going, dude, keep the sport coat and the shoes on and just be a manager?
As much as I would love to see Ric Flair, the manager, take the spotlight for the time, the man is a wrestler. You ask any of us that have gotten in the ring, the second you've gotten in there, the second you've been in front of a crowd and you felt that adrenaline, man, that gets injected into your blood, and it takes something massive to make you stop doing that. I've taken this year off to rehab my injuries and everything, and I'm at the point where at least once, maybe twice a month, I'm sitting there going, I should get back into training, I should be hitting the gym a bit more, I should be trying to get some bookings. It is extremely hard to step away from the ring, and Ric Flair is probably the biggest example of a guy who will, and I hate to say this about anybody, but he will be the guy that is going to drop dead in the middle of a wrestling match, because that's the way he lived his life, that's the way he wants to live his life, and that's the way he's gonna live his life. So it's really up to him though what he does, and you know, if he can still wrestle and he still thinks he can go at the rate he's going with his body and everything, more power to him.
888-357-9876, option 1 is a way to join us on Online World of Wrestling Radio. The chat room seems to be more interested in the NXT stuff, which I can't. Well, I'm DVRing it. I'm DVRing it. So don't ruin anything for me other than low key doing his thing.
He gets a makeover. You know, that Lay Cool shirt would only be awesome if it said Bad Man on the front.
That's awesome. The other interesting thing to come out of the TNA Impact taping that aired this past week, there's two. One was we're going to get Angelina Love versus the Knockouts champion Madison Rayne, and what maybe we'll get to you, Mav. Don't worry. Okay, go ahead, Mav, real fast. Your thoughts. Do you want Ric Flair as a full-time wrestler, or are you wanting him one and done?
I would love to see his presence on TV, but I don't like to see him wrestling again, mainly because of the fact that he's already considered retired and all that. But if he comes back, I wouldn't be surprised at all as a full-time wrestler.
The other interesting thing to come out of this past TV show, and if you read the spoilers, you know it's coming this Thursday, is the reemergence of the Monster Abyss. Not the cute, cuddly teddy bear abyss that's been walking around with a Hulk Hogan. You got the guy that put Sting off into a coffin, that was killing people, that he laid out Kennedy, he laid out Hardy. I'm a happy fan. I don't know about the rest of the room. I don't know about the chat room. But I'm a happy person to see the Monster Abyss finally back. We'll take it to Mav first. Are you sitting there going, thank God they turned him back into a monster? Or were you hoping that the cute, cuddly Abyss would stick around?
No, I did not like the cute, cuddly Abyss at all. My whole thing was that for me to actually, you know, consider this legit heel run again, and I've said this before, is to have Father James Mitchell back. I think the best way to utilize Abyss as a heel is when you have Father James Mitchell as the mouthpiece and all that, because you saw some really crazy matches with Abyss during that time. And I think to bring him back, and they could really make it an awesome storyline, just like they did with his feud against Sting. That in itself was a great storyline. If they come and bring that back again, I think Abyss would be a lot better than pretty much what Kane's storyline was supposed to be in WWE.
Well, it was never really good. I never was a fan of being someone that covered the events in person. I was never a fan of them actually doing the switch they did where he's like, well, wait, his name's Chris. It's not Abyss. And he was in an asylum. And, oh, yeah, he's going to talk. And he's going to talk on a microphone. First to Mace, then to Spug. Your thoughts on Abyss becoming back to the monster that he was?
Dude, I love the short little build they had for this. You know, Abyss goes crazy in the ring, takes everybody out. Then he gets up on the ramp. Hulk Hogan comes out. You know, what's gotten into you, brother? And then all of a sudden, just Abyss just turns around, starts shaking, points the finger. You! Brilliant. Brilliant build for that. Couldn't have done it any better. And like Mav said, get Jim in there. Get Jim Mitchell in there. James Mitchell, Jim Mitchell, whatever he's calling himself these days. The dude changes his first name more times than Madonna changes children. You know. Get him in there, and you have Abyss turn around and go, you know what, Hogan, you helped me get my confidence back. You helped me get my aggression back. But this is the man that is going to take me to that top level that you thought I should have been at, because you don't think that the real monster Abyss can take it to that level. You know, turn the whole thing around. Go from praising Hogan to saying that Hogan's the guy that's keeping him down, that's keeping him from pushing through that glass ceiling, and give him somebody that can talk the way James Mitchell's talks, and just let him go. Let Abyss go and just go crazy, and it'll work. We've been clamoring for this for, what, nearly 2 years now?
Probably.
Something like that. Now it's happening, let him go. Let's go crazy, people.
There's one little thing that's been driving me nuts about this, Bug, and I meant to bring it up on Sunday night when I was invited to your post-pay-per-view event. Maybe you can do it, talk me out of the idea that this isn't all being done so that we're going to get possibly a Bound for Glory. I know we're in June, and I'm forecasting to October, which they're supposedly going to be in Charlotte or San Antonio or wherever. Tell me that one of the main event matches of that show is not going to be the Monster Abyss being slain by the Dragon Killer Hulk Hogan.
Oh, it'll happen. It'll happen. I can't talk you out of it. You know why? Because Hogan has to stroke his own ego more.
Yes.
Hogan has stroked his ego for over a quarter century now on the careers of others. Because he's Hogan and he can. My problem with all of this is that Abyss needs to shut his mouth immediately. Don't talk anymore. Keep the mask on. You're not Chris. You're not Chris Justice. You're not Abyss Justice. You're not Chris Shamalama Ding Dong. You're the Monster Abyss. You slam people onto tacks. You do horrible, horrible things to human beings.
Broken glass recently, which was just like, okay, he's up in the game, guys. He forgot the tax. He went to the glass.
You know, go back to that immediately. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Do not stop on Park Place or Boardwalk. Just go there.
We're going to wrap. Go ahead.
Get somebody that can talk for him.
Well, you've got Stevie Richards on the roster. You've got Raven on the roster. If they're not going to go down the road of this ECW faction that's been long rumored, you had him with the Dr. Stevie character for a while. Do you put Stevie with him? Do you put Raven with him? Or, like everyone has been saying, Father James Mitchell lives in Orlando as it is. He's got private businesses in the area. Do you bring the Sinister Minister back?
I would bring
someone else.
I would bring the Sinister Minister back because while Raven is excellent on a mic, personally, I don't think Raven is manager material. I think he lacks the certain qualities to be an effective and good manager. James Mitchell, on the other hand, as we've seen in years past, is excellent at it. Probably one of the best in the business today. Stevie, you know what? If you can't get James Mitchell, Stevie could do a good job too. But drop the whole Dr. Stevie BS.
Before we go, I gotta address this situation, cause we've been talking it up on this show, but it's been talked on other shows on the network, including possibly on Map Show. Fortunately, due to time constraints, Friday at 6 o'clock, I'm playing in the pool with my 19-month-old who doesn't wanna be, you know, listening to my radio show, or anybody's show. Everybody was like, you know, we need another TNA show. TNA needs another show. Well, it looks like, possibly by July 15th, you're gonna have four, count 'em kids, 4 hours of TNA wrestling. Because it looks like from 8 to 9, you're gonna have, once again in the United States, TNA Explosion. Which, if you were a fan of TNA back in the pay-per-view Nashville days, before the pay-per-view, they filmed Explosion, and then they either showed actual stuff from the pay-per-view or showed a bunch of stills. Jeremy Borash, Burt Prentice, Scott Hudson, Mike Tenay, they all hosted that. Apparently, SoCal Val and Jeremy Borash, I think, are hosting this. I could be wrong on that. Now, it hasn't been on TV in the U.S., as I mentioned, since 2006, and it's been a regular fixture in the international markets. The one-off show that they did a few weeks back, maybe a couple months back now, Reaction, which was a behind-the-scenes making-of show, is coming on. We'll work it around the room to Maverick, to Mace, and then the Spug, and even Sorokin can get his thoughts in on this one. To Maverick, do you think this is a good idea to have a four-hour block of TNA in one night, or do you think TNA should have spaced this out to, like, other nights in the market, if Spike TV would let him do it?
Spike TV would let him do it, as long as it doesn't coincide with their constant CSI episodes. But as far as TNA goes, they don't need, they're in no shape to have a four-hour block. Eric Bischoff knows this already. I don't know why he hasn't said anything about it. The wrestling fans' attention span only lasts 2 hours, or up to 3 hours if you're Nitro. But there's no reason why TNA needs to have a whole 4 hours to talk about their product. I'm sorry. I'm not going to watch Explosion. I'm not going to watch Reaction. I want to watch a new episode. I want to watch a new episode of Impact every week. I don't care what happened in the past unless something big happened. There's no reason TNA needs to have 4 hours in one day. Space it out. Put it on a Saturday.
So you weren't a fan of the Epics program that they were doing, or did you enjoy that show?
I didn't care for it. I never cared for it at all. I never thought that it had any merit to it.
Okay, Mace. Question to you, because you're in Australia and you get all this stuff downloaded and everything else. And we'll wrap it around the room and then we'll get to our Martha Hart chat. Is this a good thing for TNA or is this oversaturation?
This would be definitely oversaturation, especially for the American market. Like you said, you know, a big 4-hour block is way too much to do. You know, most shows can barely hold attention for 2 hours, let alone three for pay-per-views. It's not really going to affect me that much, as pretty much we still get Impact, which is 2 hours on a Saturday night, of all things. And one of our other TV networks gets, I think it's actually Explosion or something. It might not be Explosion, but it's basically a condensed version of that week's Impact on one of the non-cable channels. But yeah, definitely for the American market, this is a pure case of oversaturation, and it's probably going to do them a lot more harm than good.
Okay, mate. Okay, Spug. I know you're not a big fan of TNA as it is, but do you think the market can handle 4 hours of them on one night, or should they have spaced it out to a couple nights?
It's 3 hours too many to begin with.
Wow. So you'd like Impact to go back to the one-hour format they were doing on Fox Sports?
Well, I could be a total tool and say it's 4 hours too many, but I realize that the internet marks need something to watch, because, you know, they all know they don't watch WWE. I don't care if you do 4 1-hour shows or 2 2-hour shows or whatever, but you don't need 4 hours on one night. Not even WWE does that. You know, not even Vince is that dumb to put 4 hours on one night. And especially if that reaction's... That's a recap show, isn't it? That's not even a... That's not even a new show. It's just a recap.
It was a recap of Impact done with the behind-the-scenes HD, behind-the-scenes video that they've been using for interviews on the show. That's what reaction was. And it got a horrible rating.
Yeah.
So just isn't a surprise.
You're going to show your pre-taped Impact that everybody already knows the results to anyway, and then you're going to do a pre-recorded results show immediately afterward?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but those are the death knells of your company right now.
Hold up, I'm just thinking, and I'm sorry to butt in here, Alan, isn't this basically... They would have probably had more success doing the post-show stuff that they're doing on the internet. Just put that out instead of a recap show. Give us something, you know, sort of fresher and different.
So have them do the show that they've been doing with Jeremy and SoCal Val that's available online. Just do it live for the hour, half hour on Spike.
Yeah. Instead of going straight into a recap show of something we've already watched.
It's an interesting point there.
I don't think they need a recap show to begin with.
No, they don't.
They don't. You know, here's what you do. Because you've taken away the three things that made TNA probably better than WWE at points in the women's division, the tag team division, and the X division, you can let all the old guys bicker and argue about whose E-peen is bigger in the ring on Thursdays. Give the guys who are working their asses off another show. You know? Well, put your tag teams, your X division, and your women on that show. Because I guarantee you that show will get better ratings than Impact.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure of it. And that's the sad part. We're against the time, as they say in the radio speak. We're going to take a break here on O9 World of Wrestling Radio. The Uber boss, Mr. Tim Stein, will join us from Canada to address Martha Hart versus World Wrestling Entertainment Part 2. This was the ladies' night on Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back after this break. Looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans?
then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
Hey everyone, it's Tim Stein here to tell you about a brand new podcast debuting soon, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The History Of will take you on a fantastic journey as we look at some of the most famous rock groups, funny people, and actors and actresses of all time. Utilizing the video abilities of Ustream as well as the lossless stereo sound of internet audio, The History Of will bring a totally new experience to Wild Talk Radio. So make sure that you join me, your host, Tim Stein, as we take a look at the history of some of your most favorite people ever. Make sure to keep a lookout for this brand new webcast coming soon, only to Wild Talk Radio.
Hey guys, Maverick here, the host of the only show where it's okay to basically say,
Umaga in Samoan means shriveled up monkey penis.
Now I know what you're thinking. Why do I come on here talking about being a genius when I have so many problems with my own show? Well, it's simple, folks. I'm Maverick. I'm not Albert Einstein, for God's sakes. But if you're looking for a show with outlandish opinions of wrestling in the WWE, TNA, and the NorCal indie scene, then tune in to Running the Ropes, Fridays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is the Spud Guy, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern as we get an in-depth with the world of wrestling. And as always, you can find me there, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, that was my wife saying to me, if you're going to do all this ladies' night stuff, you need some Gretchen Wilson on. And I'm like, all right, fine. Play the Gretchen Wilson on Online World of Wrestling Radio. This has been an awesome evening. It's been an awesome evening here with both the WSU champion, Mercedes Martinez, and her number one contender, Alicia, joining us. WSUWrestling.com was the ones that brought that guest to us. And we appreciate them being with us here. You can listen to podcasts of this show through clickwrestle.com and wildtalkradio.com. And, yeah, this show is about to turn into an a WTR invasion of Online World of Wrestling Radio. Because not only do I have Mace, not only do I have Spug, not only do I have Running the Ropes Mav on here. I pulled out the big guns for this next segment. I pulled out the Tim Stein card from my wallet and threw it down and said, I need this man on here because he's been in the Calgary wrestling scene for a lot longer than a lot of us. And I've been covering wrestling since 2001, but I was a fan when the late Owen Hart, unfortunately, was taken from us. Now, before we get to everybody else, let me get through the paperwork here. If you haven't been online today, guys, the widow of the late Owen Hart, Martha Hart, filed a lawsuit against World Wrestling Entertainment, Vince McMahon, Linda McMahon, for the continued use of the Owen Hart name and likeness, quote, without rights in dozens of commercials, videos, and other materials, according to the press release that was released, issued today. The lawsuit alleges that WWE has violated a contract restricting the use of Owen Hart's name, likeness, and wrestling footage, and disregarded Martha Hart's wishes against further association of her late husband's name with World Wrestling Entertainment following the death. The press release says the following, in quotes, in the 11 years since Owen's tragic and unavoidable death, I have worked tirelessly to disassociate Owen's name and likeness from anything related to WWE in order to protect our children from any reminder of the circumstances surrounding their father's death and to avoid any misplaced perception that I endorse WWE. Unfortunately, even though World Wrestling Entertainment, Vince and Linda McMahon were and are well aware of my wishes and desire to shield my children from WWE and its activities, I was shocked to learn earlier this year they would be using Owen's name and likeness in videos, websites, television programs, and print material. Given his callous, insensitive, and irresponsible behavior, one must question the moral character of Vince and Linda McMahon and the manner in which they conduct their business. Ms. Hart is asking WWE to stop using Owen Hart's name and likeness, as well as seeking unpaid royalties, as well as damages for breach of contract, copyright infringement, unjust enrichment, accounting, and unfair, deceptive trade practices. Now, they do have a website already set up, which is MarthaHartSuesWWE.com. Now, WWE issued a response through their dreaded lawyer, Jerry McDevitt. This was sent to ABC News. Martha Hart does not have exclusive right to the story of her husband. I don't think you'd see what happened today if Linda wasn't running for Senate. Now, Martha Hart denies that the lawsuit has anything to do with Linda McMahon's Senate campaign, but said voters should question Linda's moral character. Now, Sir Rockin, our producer, found this tidbit for me because I didn't know where the heck to go to find this $600 million question out, which is, who actually owns the trademark of Owen Hart? Well, it's not WWE, because according to the U.S. Trademark Office, the World Wrestling Entertainment trademark on Owen Hart ended on February 24th of 1998. Now, many people were sitting there watching WWE TV last night and said, oh, that must be why Bret Hart left. No, Bret Hart actually left because he's got a Lloyd's of London issue. Now, let's recap real fast before we get everybody involved in here. Martha Hart did sue for wrongful death and other issues back after the 1999 passing of Owen Hart. WWE gave in and reached an agreement 20 months into the case. She settled for $18 million out of court. $2 million of that was used to establish the Owen Hart Foundation, while the rest was kept, I'm guessing, for herself and her two children. Now, while WWE didn't sell any merchandise bearing his name, Owen was included recently in the Hart Family DVD, and he's been teased as being a part of WWE Hall of Fame, and, of course, Bret Hart has mentioned his name before. So I want to go first to Tim Stein on this because, as I mentioned, Tim's been in the wrestling business going back with the Stampede folks and that endeavor. take it from me, Tim. Your thoughts on this lawsuit?
I would love to see wrestling fans of the professional version get together and launch a lawsuit against Martha Hart, for Christ's sakes. That's what I would like to see.
Okay, why? Why do you want us? Why do you want us to sue Martha?
Well, I'll tell you exactly why. Martha Hart has never liked professional wrestling. Never, 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 never. She's never been keen on the business. She is one of those people that thinks, it's a stupid thing. It's not real. Yada yada yada. And then she's got a husband who's in the business who winds up dying because of the business. Because of a stunt that was rigged up to make fun of Sting's entrance in a rival company, namely WCW. When Owen first met and started dating Martha Hart, and this is actually in Brett's biography, if you read it, Brett at one point in time asked Owen if Martha was smart. And Owen kind of smiled and shook his head no, and Martha got a little ticked off. What do you mean I'm not smart? I'm very smart. I'm going to college. Yeah. I got all these degrees and stuff. Just didn't quite clue in. Even after it was explained to her, smart to the business, and she was let in on the ins and outs and the behind the scenes when it was determined that she would be spending a lot more time with the Hart family. Despite everything, despite her knowledge given to her of the ins and outs behind the scenes, she's never really clued in. And now, what is she doing? She's saying, "Oh, I'm protecting my children." Well, I got news for you. Okay, sure, I can understand that you want to protect the children, and I've got nothing bad to say against Oge and his sister. I can't remember her name right off the top of my head for a quick sec. I'm drawing a blank. But
I think it's Athena is the daughter's name.
Oge and Athena. I don't want to see anything hurt them. They're wonderful kids, and they've faced 11 tragic years of being fatherless. And it's a horrible thing, but it's about time that they realized that if they haven't figured it out by now, they are members of a very, very famous, very, very, very influential, and very, very, very public family. Now, when you become a celebrity, privacy is at a premium. And, yeah, you want to protect the kids as much as possible for as long as you can. I'm not against that at all. What I'm against is Martha's stonewalling and blocking all of the fans of Owen being able to remember him the way that the fans can remember Owen best. And that simply is by being able to relive the moments in the ring that caused all of these people to fall in love with Owen Hart to begin with. And it's a way for the fans to pay tribute. Martha's, she's, if you'll excuse the expression, she's, I better not say it on OWW, she's, clock blocking it. How's that? We'll clean it up a little bit for you, Alan.
That works.
Okay, she's clock blocking the fans, all because of her hatred. You can't assuage it, you can't massage it, you cannot spin doctor it. Her absolute hatred of Vince McMahon and WWE. So, it's the case of somebody breaks up with somebody and refuses to go to the same party that person that just broke up with them is going to, because that person's going to be there. It's very self-limiting. Does that make any sense at all?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In case you're just joining us here, this is Online World of Wrestling Radio. Yes, we're in our third hour. I feel like there's a telethon going on. How much have we raised, Sir Rockin? This is coming from the man himself, Jim Ross, who chimed in, and yet it's another long paragraph, so give me a moment here.
Read online about the Martha Hart lawsuit versus WWE. I am not a lawyer, I've never played one on TV, and know zilch about this untimely legal matter. Nonetheless, my personal opinion is that the timing of this legal posturing is questionable, specifically as it relates to Connecticut politics. Plus, yeah. I never recall WWE ever doing anything but honoring Owen's legacy and certainly not, quote, exploiting it in a negative light. Owen Hart is one of the most respected guys who fans want to see inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. We get dozens of emails off and on all year and whenever a Hall of Fame topic is discussed. Does this legal mindset mean that if WWE ever decided to induct Owen Hart into the Hall of Fame that he so richly deserves, that there would be more litigation? Should the threat of a lawsuit deprive Owen Hart of an honor that many feel he deserves? Contrary to litigation present or past, for future, Owen Hart's legacy isn't going to be forgotten, nor should it be. Let me pass this around the room. We'll go back to Tim for a second, and then we'll take it to Spug. Your thoughts on Jim Ross?
Well, Jim has every right to say whatever the hell he wants. I mean, he's Jim Ross. Everybody's got an opinion. Not all of them are bang on. Who knows? Maybe my opinions are right out to lunch every time I open up my big mouth and stick my feet into it. But as far as this being politically motivated, I have to somewhat disagree about that. There is absolutely no rhyme or reason for somebody from a different country to do anything to sabotage somebody else's Senate run. If you were to ask me, and again, this is just my opinion, I would have to say it comes down to money. Specifically, when you look at the Hart Family DVD that came out, there's stuff on there about Owen. It's not dwelled on. There's a tiny little segment. It's not a hell of a lot. But did Owen's family see any of the royalties from that DVD? That's the big question. And I'm getting a feeling because of the launching of this lawsuit right after everything that has transpired might not be politically motivated other than financially motivated. WWE is making money off of Owen Hart.
Your thoughts on this, Mace? And we'll go to Mace, then we'll go to Spug.
Well, Tim pretty much sums it up. You know, What's the surname that's being used for Martha and the kids? It's Hart. That name carries a lot of respect and a lot of notoriety in the wrestling world. You know, she's going on and on, oh, I'm protecting my children from wrestling. What's she going to tell them when they turn around and go, what did Dad do for a living? You know, is she going to turn around and go, oh, your father didn't really do anything of note? You know, trying to protect your kids from wrestling is one thing, but this is like going crazy with a censorship button on Sesame Street or something. You know, it's basically trying to lock some kids into a tiny little box. And I know that's sort of the main focus I'm going for here, is the kids really need to see what their father has done, what a great man their father was. You know, because I doubt there's going to be that much besides, you know, maybe a few home movies or something. The wrestling collection is about the much they're going to get to see of what their old man did. As for the lawsuit itself, is it politically motivated? Who knows? I could say, you know, the money might have dried up or Martha's not getting as much as she wants. But there's always going to be a reason, and it just seems to be a really weird timing on her behalf to come through with this lawsuit once again. Spuggeroonie, you want to take it from you?
Well, here's the thing. In a roundabout way, it is politically motivated. Because as we've seen in the past, over the past few months, the WWE has been super sensitive when it comes to anything that might derail or curtail Linda McMahon's Senate run, or anything that might bring a negative light to it. So in a way, it's kind of perfect timing for a lawsuit, because WWE would be willing to settle real quick for the right amount of money. And, you know, if it's a monetary move, it's smart on Martha Hart to do it right now, but she's also a bimbo in the process, because as Mace and Tim have both said, you know, what are you going to do when the kids start asking questions about their dad? Oh, he was an insurance salesman. He got into a horrible moose accident while skating. You know, you have to explain to them this was an accident. It wasn't as if somebody ran up there and maliciously cut the wire and dropped Owen 75 feet onto the ring. You know, it was an accident. And in this line of work, accidents happen. Often, sometimes they're fatal. Is it horrible that he's gone? Absolutely. Is it horrible for those two children and her that he's gone? Absolutely. I couldn't imagine growing up fatherless, let alone having a father from a family who famous as the Harts. But things happen, and you just got to learn to live with it.
Okay,
because not everything is a perfect world.
And unfortunately it isn't. Put the game stick down away for a moment, Mav. Your thoughts on this whole Martha Hart versus WWE round two?
Here's how I see it. Common sense apparently is not playing much in Martha's favor because of the fact that, for one, Owen Hart was a WWE wrestler. The fact that she married into a family of wrestlers should have indicated beforehand that, oh, well, he's probably famous. He's probably up there. But the my whole problem is that didn't she try this before? You mentioned earlier, Alan, that it was part two of this case?
Yeah, this was from she filed wrongful death, her and the family, and then there was a whole craziness with the Hart kids and led to Brett not talking for years. And one of the gentlemen in the room hinted to it. I think it might have been Tim that hinted that Brett Hart in his biography, which if you can find it, get it. It's as big as a college textbook, but it's a phenomenal read. He addressed it. Even Martha Hart in a book that she wrote back a few years ago addressed it. All this inner fighting with Ellie Hart and Diana Hart and facts and documents behind the parents' back. I mean, many people had said that it possibly led to Stu and Helen's health getting even worse than it possibly was.
Right.
So back to you in this sense, Mav, are you sitting there in agreement with the rest of this room in that I'm vibing with the rest of the room that this is not because, oh, Linda's running, though Brian Danielson tried to derail her thing. Let's see how else we can derail it. And do you think that this is just Martha wanting more money, or is this her honestly protecting her husband's legacy?
This is her definitely wanting more money. She's not exactly savvy with the wrestling business. She doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't keep up with the WWE as much as I'm sure she should be doing. But when you're suing someone, when you're filing a lawsuit against someone, it helps to do your homework, or else you're going to get your case thrown out quick. I don't know where she's filing the lawsuit out. I'm guessing it's Connecticut for WWE, but I can tell you right now.
Sure.
I can tell you right now if this was in.
I got to interrupt you for a second, Maverick. Because Martha is Canadian and she's going after an American company, it would be decided in an international court as opposed to Connecticut Circuit Court or whatever.
Well, they ran into that during the first trial because the WWE was based out of Connecticut. They were like, oh, we wanted held here, and they wanted it to be in Kansas City, Missouri, where the actual accident took place. So I think Tim is right before Mav mentioned this was going to go to his point there. This is probably going to be another one of these out-of-court settlement thing as opposed to having this totally dragged through the mud. Go ahead, Maverick.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, either way, no matter where this court is going to be at, whoever's going to reside this case is just going to look at it and say, you've tried this before. And just because they're using the name now and they're not defiling the name, they're not doing anything that would warrant promoting a violent atmosphere, other than the fact that it's professional wrestling, they're going to throw it out quick. This whole thing to me is ludicrous. She just wants more money. She wants a reason to complain and cry about it. But now she needs to live in 2010 because it's not right. It's not right.
Well, I just got to break in here. It's not a case of Martha Hart wants more money. Look, her undisclosed settlement with WWE, which amounted to $18 million, there you go for non-disclosure, sue me, right? Anyway, she wound up with enough money for the Hart Foundation to be self-sustaining in perpetuity, just from the interest on it alone. On top of that, you know, she's got enough money for her and her family now. I mean, they were millionaires before Owen died. And the only reason why Owen didn't walk away from his WWF at the time contract was the simple fact that they had become accustomed to a certain lifestyle. And Owen wanted to make sure that that lifestyle could be maintained, and in order to do so, he had to finish out the 2 years left on his contract for the amount of money that he was making. Now, it wasn't $3 million a year, it wasn't $2 million a year, but it was pretty damn high up there, especially for 11 years ago. And the fact of the matter is, it's all about money, but it's not because she wants the money. It's about, I'm saying it's about money, because WWE is now profiting from Owen Hart. I mean, you saw the T-shirt that Brett wore the night after WrestleMania, right?
Mm-hmm.
That T-shirt that was created from that very, very famous picture in the Hart House of Owen and Brett, with Brett holding Owen in a headlock. That's the T-shirt. You all remember that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wanted one of those because I was a big Owen Hart fan back in the day.
Now, here's the thing. Is that T-shirt commercially available?
I'm not 100% sure. I know that's a rhetorical question, but if anybody's seen it, is it on WWE.com?
No, it's not completely rhetorical. Read what Joe Producer just put in there, okay?
Oh, so he was selling it on BretHart.com or BretHart.net or whatever it is.
Shirts, okay? Brett was selling those shirts.
And here's
the rub, okay? Because Bret Hart had a renewed contract with WWE, which is currently on hold, as you said earlier, because of his insurance issues. He's not supposed to be doing any in-ring competition, otherwise his permanent guaranteed payments wind up under review, yada, yada, yada. So that's got to be restructured and dealt with and stuff like that. You haven't seen the last of Brett in the WWE. And Rock and I were talking about it Monday night. Perhaps this is a perfect out for him to become full-time manager of Hart Dynasty, which I think is a good idea.
We thought we were going to see that. We talked about that here, and we talked about it in other formats. We were surprised. Obviously, you called it. Spug doesn't like hearing that Tim was right, but you had called it, saying that that was going to happen. And I was one of those people that kept saying, why are you taking him away from that? Let him be the Hart Dynasty manager. Let him do a Hart, you know, click or something along those lines. Bring someone like Johnny Devine in, maybe mold Chris Jericho into it to get a whole, like, Calgary Stampede Mafia-type thing going. And obviously, I'm not one of the 20-some-odd creative people sitting in Stanford in a room watching SpongeBob going, yeah, let's use that on the show, guys.
Wouldn't it be the first time?
Well, here it is, Alan. As a booker, you probably wouldn't suck too bad, because putting together a Stampede Mafia stable in WWE would not be the world's worst idea. They could go in so many different directions. And, you know, they own all of the classic footage from Stampede Wrestling from the 50s up until 1984 that you know, why bother just keeping it on WWE 24/7? There is Stampede Wrestling was syndicated in like dozens and dozens of countries around the world, and it's very, very well known in places. Believe it or not, Cameroon, you know, Vietnam, in the Caribbean, they got regular weekly televised Stampede Wrestling shows down there.
They were out there like the world class championship wrestling stuff was. You'd be in Israel and people walk up to you going, "Hey, you're the heart." So. It's not like it's a small little mom and pop promotion that just slowly faded away like you're saying. This is a company that there was a very well made book that was put out on ECW Press, and I'm blanking on the gentleman's name. I reviewed the guy's book. He works for Calgary Sun. A very well done book on it.
Alan, his name is Heath McCoy, and he actually works for the Calgary Herald. Not the Calgary
Herald. I'm sorry, but yeah. I mean, this isn't a... I remember talking to Natty Neidhart at an FCW event going, "I just read this guy's book about your family's business," and she's like, "Yeah, you know, he talked to us about it and this and that," and they kind of hinted at it on TV, guys. We'll take it around the room real fast to Spug, and then I'll mention other names, that the Hart dynasty kind of mentioned Uncle Brett not being around, but like Tim said, do you think that this is, sorry, Brett taking time to settle his loyalty to London? Are we going to see Brett back by SummerSlam, Survivor Series at any point, Spug, or do you think Brett's actually gone?
I don't know. I really don't. And if he comes back, great. If not, great. It was nice to see an end to the Montreal thing. I mean, just think about it. Since the beatdown... has anybody really talked about it? No. And it's actually pretty cool. I don't know. I'd like to see him back. I'd like to see him as a manager. I think he'd do all right. But, you know, just back to the Owen Hart thing real quick. You know, the unfortunate thing in all of this, and the ones who really do suffer, other than Martha Hart's children, is us, the fans. Because we have to deal with another pathetic act of bitterness from somebody who hates the business, doesn't understand it, doesn't understand what there is to love about it, and doesn't understand that all those things that she enjoyed while he was alive, and that she's enjoying now that he's gone, you know, are because of the wrestling business.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me stop you for a second there, because I want to ask Tim this, because he does live in Canada. What exactly does the Owen Hart Foundation do? Does anybody know? Do you know, Tim, or anybody? What exactly is the foundation established for?
The Owen Hart Foundation has been established to give people money for scholarships.
Oh, so it's a scholarship fund. Okay, so it's not something to... Because I had known, obviously, he at one point, when he left after the Blue Blazers set up in the 80s, and before he came back with Coco Beware and Jim Neidhart and then doing the other thing, he had decided he wanted to leave and do firefighting, so I thought maybe it was a firefighter charity. Oh, there we go. Sir Rockin, the cool guy on the board who I said could talk and he doesn't wanna. Martha Hart says, "I established the Owen Hart Foundation in his memory in December 2000. Building this meaningful tribute to my husband and our children has given me strength and saved me from despair over his death. The Owen Hart Foundation is a permanent legacy that is in place today to help people today and for generations to come." It's a little vague, but it's not. Go ahead and mention what you just said, Mace. Let your feelings be known. No opinion is outlandish here. What you just put in our private chat, go ahead and talk that up. Go ahead. put on your bulletproof vest.
After reading that one, I tell you what, that sounds exactly like I've put in the little private chat there. What I said was, "I made this foundation to line my pockets with money made from the memory of my husband because WWE won't pay me more money." That's exactly how it sounds.
In case you're just wondering who the heck all these guys are talking on Online World of Wrestling Radio, and yes, I say it in the commercial, we're on from 9 p.m. until we run out of stuff to talk about. Yeah, it's almost midnight Eastern time, so deal with it. 888-357-9876, option one, if you have an opinion on Martha Hart versus World Wrestling Entertainment. Once again, I'm going to go around the room and introduce everybody one more time. Yes, it is a WTR takeover of the show. Mav from Running the Ropes is here. Tim Stein, Mace, and Spug, and Sir Rockin, they're all here from WrestleTalk Radio. They can be heard on this network Sunday nights at 10 p.m., 11 p.m. after a pay-per-view Eastern Time. Mav can be heard on this network Fridays at 6 p.m. Who he doesn't? Podcaster, archive, you thieving punk.
I gotta figure out how to compress things, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but they told me he's this college guy who's got technology, and then it's like, he doesn't have the technology!
Yeah, Alan.
Yes, sir.
How many times do I have to tell you that the genius that we know as Maverick is anything but?
Okay. So, you have, according to Tim, you have everything that the foundation does?
Okay, one of the things is the scholarship fund. It's called the Forest Lawn Scholarship Fund. 10 awards of $4,000 each are awarded every year to high school students who have a minimum average, demonstrate tremendous effort, attitude, and a great leadership throughout the year. Now, applicants must be graduating grade 12 from Forest Lawn High School specifically, because that's the high, you know, that's the high school Martha went to. Applicants must plan to attend an accredited Canadian post-secondary institution, that fall after they graduate from high school. And they must also be posting at least a 70% average. Now, that's one of the things that the Owen Hart Foundation does. The other thing is the Owen Hart Housing Program. Basically, the way it works, you have to complete the Fair Gains one-year program afterwards, then participants can apply to the Owen Hart Housing Program. Now, participants deposit between $50 and $100 a month for 1 year into a bank account, saving a grand total of $1,200. And they attend regular workshops, peer group meetings, one-on-one consultation sessions. After a year, savings are matched at 4-to-1. So for every $4 saved, or for every $1 saved, they get $4. Okay, so $1,200 becomes $4,800. Now, using matched dollars, participants apply for a mortgage through a mortgage agent or a bank of their choice. And this helps low income people secure their very first house.
So it's like a Habitat for Humanity in the United States. It's
very much like Habitat for Humanity, which is not America, by the way. It's international.
Right, but I'm just equating it for American listeners if they're hearing that program that's here. I don't know if I'm podcasting to Kuala Lumpur yet. I'm working on it.
Yeah, the Owen Hart Foundation's catchphrase is providing opportunities for hardworking people with limited resources and unlimited potential. Okay, now, a very noble effort, and it's a very nice thing to do. And the Owen Hart Foundation was established with some of the money awarded Martha in the initial lawsuit. However, it has become a thing that accepts donations. The donations become tax write-offs for the people who fork over money to help support the Owen Hart Foundation. Now, somebody was saying earlier they've got something coming up. Well, Ringo Starr and his All-Star Band, Wednesday, July 28, 2010, at the Southern Alberta Jubilee Auditorium, 7:30 p.m. in Calgary. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster, 403-777-0000, or online at www.ticketmaster.ca. Come see Ringo Starr and his All-Star Band, Wednesday, July 20. Wait a minute. This is not a commercial. Anyway. Yeah, that's the next thing that they're doing. They're selling tickets. Ringo and his band, they get their money, and then the Owen Hart Foundation gets a cut of that to help keep the coffers lined.
Mace, go ahead and finish. You had mentioned something here. I mean, do you feel that this charity, just from what you heard, does this honor Owen Hart, professional wrestler, or is it just using Owen Hart as a name because people go, hey, I know that guy?
Yeah, it's sounding very much like it's in the memory of Owen Hart in name only. To me, it, like, I don't understand how giving a scholarship to people from Martha's old school is helping honor her husband. If it was coming, like, if it was a scholarship from people from Owen's old high school, then I could understand that, but it seems like, okay, I'm just going to use Owen's name because that's a bit, the big name, you know, the Hart family name carries a lot of weight in Canada and also worldwide with the audience.
Yeah. Just to break in a little bit here, you have to remember that Owen and Martha were high school sweethearts. Hint, hint.
Nothing wrong
okay.
with that.
I'm sorry, Tim. I have not read every little bit on the Hart family. I do not live in Canada, therefore I don't know them.
No, I'm just...
you got to remember, my Hart history is extremely rusty.
Yeah, no, I'm filling you in.
Yeah. And we appreciate him doing that. To Mav, then to Spug, take us into the future. Is this lawsuit tossed, or is this actually, or is this an out-of-court thing like we had in 1999, 2000, 2001, or does this thing actually see a courtroom? First to Mab, then to Spug.
I think this won't get past the negotiating table, to be quite honest. I don't claim to be, like Jim Ross, I don't claim to be a lawyer. I'm not a law student. I'm not anything in law, but I know common sense when I see it. This ain't gonna get past the negotiating table because of the fact that you have, for one, this is an Owen, you guys were talking about the Owen Hart Foundation going to high school kids. Owen Hart, albeit, I'm all for education reform. I'm all, Lord knows it's happened here in California a lot. But the fact of the matter is, this is a wrestler and a non-wrestling wife. It's not really anything to gawk about, but still, putting your famous wrestling husband's name on something completely outside of wrestling is not going to get you anywhere. But I will say this, it's a hell of a marketing ploy because it'll confuse fans. When it comes to the lawsuit, however, when it comes to this specific lawsuit of WWE using Owen Hart's name and saying how it's still promoting a violent atmosphere, it doesn't. Because when Owen Hart was in the ring, it wasn't overly violent. You never saw much of anything of a hardcore aspect with weapons and all that outside of your usual steel chairs and your arm casts and all that. This will not make it to a court system because a judge will look at this, sit down in his chair, laugh his head off, and throw it away. That's it. And that's my opinion.
Okay, Spug, you're a lywer. Do you want... Are you taking this case on and go, I'm going to go all the way to the end, or are you, or is she looking for another out of settlement thing?
She's looking for a settlement. You don't file a lawsuit with that many underlying causes in it, hoping to go to court, because that suit was filed in Hartford, Connecticut, in the U.S. District Court. The timing of it is suspect. As much as people don't want to say it's politically motivated, like I said before, you look at how much WWE is doing to keep everything under the rug and keep it away from Linda's political aspirations. Maybe she's trying to scare WWE into settling out of court. You know, give her more money. And as far as the Owen Hart Foundation, maybe it's trying to honor the man who wasn't the wrestler. But yeah, I agree with Mace. It's in name only. Because if you really want to honor him, if you really, really want to honor him, then they should get the scholarship no matter what high school they go to.
Well,
and they should. And it shouldn't have to go to just a Canadian university. Maybe the program that they want isn't offered in Canada. Maybe it's offered in the United States. Maybe it's offered somewhere else. I disagree entirely with that.
Well, here's the thing, okay? Owen and Martha, Canadian, Calgarians, born and raised in this town. It's a local thing. They want to help out locally. That's the stipulations that were brought up. Forest Lawn High School happens to be the high school where all the poor kids go. It's in the poor end of town. Forest Lawn used to be a separate township. It was annexed by the city of Calgary. And trust me, the majority of Forest Lawn is a dive. Forest Lawn is the poor section of the city.
That's a shame.
Right?
I'm
sorry to keep talking here, Alan, but...
You're fine. You're our Canadian expert. That's why I brought you on here, because you're someone who is from the area, has been a part of Stampede Wrestling in one form or another, and that's why I got on my hands and knees and said, I need Tim Stein now! Get him here, brother!
Oh. Well, he doesn't show up to his own shows, then he might as well show up here.
Hey, yeah.
No low blows!
Whoa, Sunday was a very important day, all right? And
yeah, Father's Day was important, and I'm on Eastern Time. My kids were long asleep by the time WrestleTalk Radio showed up on the air. My 8-year-old was trying to stay awake to play the Super Mario Brothers that we got for the Wii. I was like, Dad, yes!
Yeah, as much fun as it is schooling all of you Jamokes every Sunday night, it was more important for me to see Iron Man 2 with my son, Owen.
On that note, I'm going to slowly wrap this show up. I want to thank all these gentlemen for being here for this.
Oh, use a big red bow.
What?
You said you're going to wrap this up. Well, use a big red bow.
Okay, I don't know. Anyhow, don't play the music yet. I want to save the song for the absolute end because it's one of my favorite bands. This was a very hard topic to talk about because we're all wrestling fans. And the last thing we want to do is talk about stuff like this. This drives us nuts, fans. So we thank you for being a part of this event, especially everyone that braved us in the WildTalkRadio.com chat room, OWWRadio.com. Thanks to WSUWrestling.com for getting us the WSU champion, Mercedes Martinez, the number one contender to her belt, Alicia. This is the part where I pub stuff. OWW Genesis, you could go and comment on this. You can comment on WWE, ROH, TNA. There's a blog cess thing. There's the commercial that I do says it all. As I mentioned, each of these gentlemen has a show on here tomorrow night, 9:00. Mace, Spug, and Omega do Otaku Talk Radio. I got it right. Yes, I feel better about myself. Thursday nights, whenever the lovely and talented Cindy Sin decides to come on the air, she has Anything Goes. Friday night, Mav will be back, and we thank him for being here tonight. He has a show called Running the Ropes, which is different from this one. Saturday nights is CB Radio with
the Godfather Rob Parks
and Sir Rockin, who actually does talk. He doesn't talk on this show, and I keep telling him, Rock, you can talk here. Cindy's not with a cattle prod going, shut up, dude! And as I mentioned...
Midnight-ish. See, I talked.
Yeah, and as I mentioned here, the Russell Talk Radio... They are on Sunday nights, 10 p.m. They are usually joined by Omega. If Will's allowed to get out of his job, he'll be there. The other cast of characters I mentioned, they'll be back at their 10 p.m. time slot because there's not a pay-per-view this Sunday. Awesome. So I thank all of them. Oh, that's right. You have a new thing coming, The History Of, which is basically like the commercials will say, it's the history of a particular topic. It could be music, it could be movies, it could be a comedian, it could be anything else.
Well, it's a little more specific than movies or music. It'll focus on, you know, some of our favorite rock bands that we listened to when we were little kids. Comedians that, you know, like some of the most influential and well-known comedians in history, stuff like that, you know. For example, I'm going to give you the history of Rush and how their success is linked to Cleveland, Ohio.
I honestly don't know. I want to thank everybody for joining us here on Ladies Night. Next week, we have got former ROH, former TNA star, the one and only, the rave of the Rock and Rave Infection, Jimmy Rave, will be joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Thank you, everybody, for dealing with us for the last 3 hours and 15 minutes. Susie and the Banshees is going to take us out here from Ladies Night. Thank you so much for joining us, Online World of Wrestling Radio, OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Thank you, and have a great night.